about so easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Ooh, da doo dee poo doo dee, da poo dee boo doo dee, da boo dee boo da boo boo ba doo ba doo boo boo ba poo boo dee.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm home, a rumstick, a pumpkin, a soup, bang, nip, tat, Carlomich, cameo.
And now.
God, that was hot nonsense.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know what just happened. I'll be honest.
I think that says everything we need to say.
All right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 5th of November.
So, peeps, what's going on? How we doing? How we living?
You know, living large.
Large. Thug life and all whatnot.
Right.
Like we do. Thug life like we do. Hey, here's a thing. Here's a young man who is getting a lot of attention for his post on Reddit. I need your help. You see, in March, I booked a fairly wicked trip around the world for this Christmas for my ex and I. While our relationship has come to a close, I am still planning on going on the trip, and she is not, naturally. And because I hate the idea of a ticket going to waste, I am looking for someone to go with me. Why are you humming, Kevin?
Because that's a difficult situation. If you have to buy those tickets and you break up, then what do you do?
That's tough.
Well, here's the itinerary, if you're interested. He leaves on December 21st from New York City and flies to Milan. Then he's got tickets from Prague to Paris on the 28th. Then he's got tickets from Paris to Bangkok on the 29th. Not spending a lot of time in Paris, by the way.
No kidding.
Heading straight to Bangkok.
Then he stays in Bangkok till January 7th. Then he's got tickets to New Delhi from Bangkok. And then from New Delhi, he flies back to Toronto on January 8th. It's kind of a weird flight plan for this trip.
That's bizarre. He's a bad planner.
I'm not sure I would want to go.
It's interesting. He says, I am not looking for anything in return. I am not looking for companionship, romance, drugs, a trade. I'm not looking to take selfies with you in front of the Christmas market in Prague. If you want to toss me a couple of bucks, that's great. But really, I'm just looking for someone who wants to go and enjoy the trip and bring you happiness. In other words, he's saying, we'll travel together. We'll go to and from the, you know, we'll meet up at the airport, take the flight together. But then we're on our own. He hasn't booked hotel, trains, buses, anything like that. You're on your own when we get to these cities, but he's offering you the airfare.
Yeah, I've seen Hostel. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Here's the reason why this has made maybe a little bit more noise than you might expect is that he says, anyone familiar with the archaic system that is modern air travel will know that a name change on a ticket is damn near impossible. Moreover, the flights were purchased during a massive blow-up on Priceline and, frankly, were so cheap that and on so many different airlines that they're not worth the headache or the money to cancel. So I am looking for a woman named Elizabeth Gallagher with a Canadian passport.
What? Oh.
No one else need apply. You can imagine that there are quite a few Elizabeth Gallaghers in Canada, and there's got to be one of them that's thinking about taking this guy up on this. He says that he is a regular 28-year-old guy. He's not an axe murderer. He's just a normal guy who likes to live spontaneously.
You think there's enough women with that specific name that one of them will want to go around the world with a complete stranger?
I think this is a shot in the dark.
No way.
A huge shot in the dark.
I absolutely think there is somebody.
I don't either. I'm with Kevin.
Here we go. Let me see. He says he's been contacted. I have received thousands of emails from people around the world. Among those, I have received many emails from Elizabeth Gallagher's in Canada, and we are working to respond to all of them. Exciting times ahead. Stay in touch, and we'll keep you updated on the story. Lots of Elizabeth Gallagher's have come forward and will continue to do so, which is all kinds of amazing. Yay, Internet. So I don't know. I mean, that's a very common first name and a very common last name. So I wouldn't be – I mean, I don't know. How many in Canada would there be, do you think? I wouldn't be surprised if there were 25, would you?
No, I wouldn't, but I would also...
Then you have to go of traveling age, right, not married, right, no boyfriend, able to leave,
willing
work,
to go with a stranger.
Willing to go, wants and, to go to those places.
And I'd say if the sample size is 25, you're not going to find one.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll wait and see. I mean, you know, you got 6 weeks to work it out in terms of travel, you know, time off and arranging to go. I mean, it's not like you leave Friday. I mean, there is a built-in buffer here for somebody to get to arrange it. But you're right, Lisa. I mean, you would probably have to be unmarried or unattached, I would imagine, for something like this. And I'm sure lots of your friends would try to talk you out of it.
Sure.
Because you're going to end up in Bangkok with this guy you've never met before.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think we all know that's how organ donation stories get started.
That's correct.
So anyway, I found it interesting, and we'll see who's going to take them up on that that free plane ticket around the world. What a bizarre schedule he's got, though.
Yeah, he's not a good planner.
That's why she broke up with him.
Yeah.
It was a terrible idea.
Could be. She looked at the itinerary and said, this is BS, man.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It just wrecks my throat.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean.
How
the program today.
Dare
no,
you?
How dare you, sir. Michael Schneider from TV Guide is going to come on. He's the executive producer of that. And AMC and DirecTV are having a fight. Well, it's not just AMC. I guess it's a group of channels, including BBC America and others. And this
Wait,
always
Downton Abbey?
This always...
Oh, no, that's Masterpiece.
It seems
that's
like PBS, this happens. Yeah. How many times a year? I know it happened at the beginning of the Dodger season. There was a lot of Dodger fans were upset about that.
Once or twice a year, somebody has a beef with somebody. That's for sure. Well, I mean, it's all, you know, I mean, it's negotiation like any other business. Hey, you're giving us this channel for $2.01 a subscriber. We want it for $1.85. I mean, it's that kind of math is really what it boils down to, as, you know, everybody tries to get as much as they can and make a profit.
But can we get – do you think we'll get information on how much, you know, they're paying, how much they want? Because it could be completely unrealistic on one side or the other, and then you don't know, you know, whose side to be on.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, well, if anyone knows, our friend Mike knows. I mean, he knows this stuff. So, Bruce, and what are the likelihoods for reals that we're going to lose these channels?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Bruce Green and Adam Kovic from Machinima.
Mm-hmm.
Machinima.
I know Machinima. Right.
Machinima. Talking Call of Duty and other games that are coming out between now and the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, we have the co-creator of BlizzCon on the program a little bit later on. And we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, and we have a brand new Internet Roundup. So a lot coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
And more tickets to that secret K-Rock show with Foo Fighters coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. That's going to be so awesome.
Oh!
And that's the sound of Ralph Garman. Very excited about Foo Fighters.
They're the best.
Your friend Dave Grohl.
They're the best.
They're the best.
Speaking of foos, they've already got major plans for July 4th, 2015. So don't ask them to come to your barbecue. They are booked up. July 4th, 2015.
Okay.
Okay.
They have announced they will celebrate their 20th anniversary with a concert at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
It will be an all-day event with lots of music and other fun stuff. All the details will be revealed tomorrow, but looks like we've all got plans for 4th of July, 2015.
I already have tickets for an event on June 27th of 2015, a week before the Foo Fighters show.
Where's Taylor Swift coming?
It's
going to be at the Crapadome there in Washington State.
It's the world's
what makes
largest
you assume
ball of wine. Or...
Automatically that it's a Taylor Swift concert.
Hold on. The world's largest ball of wine?
Yes.
Forgot the tea. Twine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had wine balls these days.
I said it. I was like, I don't think that exists. What are you doing?
What are you doing? All right, we'll bite. What are you doing?
It's Taylor Swift in Hyde Park.
That's
in
what I guessed.
I know. I would have said you were right.
Taylor,
yeah,
you're
that's
going
exactly
all the way
what
to
it is.
London to see her.
Well, I go there anyway, but it just happens to be perfect timing during our vacation. Like Ralph, how you worked around the Monty Python show, same sort of thing.
Yeah, but that's something you
Except
want to see.
For Monty Python, Taylor Swift.
Right.
Big difference.
So, I'm very excited about it. I got my tickets. And then I'll rush back and go see the Foo Fighters the following week, so it'll be a great time.
You know what? He's not going to do that.
Nope.
He's going to watch Taylor Swift. He's not going to watch Foo Fighters.
You don't know, man.
I do.
Can you imagine being just there bouncing in his seat to...
Woo! Hate is gonna hate, 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 hate.
Singing along.
Sing it, girl!
Got his hair in ponytails, wearing a crop top, flashing his cans.
Oh my gosh, 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 oh my gosh.
Just... Thinking about bringing the pigtails back too, by the way.
Oh, please do.
Subject. Thinking about it.
And wow, this is this. It's just so creepy. I'm not a fan.
Of Beck Kiroff.
Of being in his love.
Of wine balls.
wine balls.
Mm-hmm. Amanda Bynes now claims she's been diagnosed as bipolar and manic depressive.
Sounds about right.
She's tweeting once again. Yesterday morning, she tweeted, I was diagnosed bipolar and manic depressive, so I'm on my medication. I'm seeing my psychologist and my psychiatrist weekly, so I'm fine.
Well, that's good. That's not a new diagnosis, though, right? That's what they found out last time.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why it's very important for her to keep taking her medication, which apparently she's been off now for a while. But it sounds like, from her current tweets, that she is getting back on the right track.
Good.
Although she did say, I need to get an apartment, and my parents won't give me access to any of my funds.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. I'm not living with my parents. I'm not legally obligated to. My lawyer said if I comply with the courts and take my meds and see my psychiatrist and psychologist weekly, then I can get unconserved. Thank God. Yeah, but if you get unconserved, then you'll stop taking your medication, and then you start wanting people to murder your vagina and how ugly they are.
And you said last week that she was spending her money kind of recklessly, too, and her parents are kind of trying to look out for that.
Yeah, she was buying jewelry for strangers, basically.
I don't think she's got a lot of cash coming in. I mean, she has certain residuals from that TV show, but it can't be.
Her net worth, they said, is still, I don't know, 4 or 5 mil, something like that.
Oh, really? Yeah, wow, okay.
And Ariana Grande, she just continues to get a bad rap in the press. I don't know whether they got a hate on for her, whether these are real stories, but new one in the National Enquirer. She was eating in a L.A. sushi joint when apparently customers around her were complaining to the management that she kept repeatedly dropping the F-bomb over and over during dinner very loudly.
Good.
Manager politely asked her to tone it down. And according to witnesses, she responded with, I've got the number one record in the world.
No, she didn't.
That's what she said.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, does she think she sings all? It's All About the Bass?
I think she thinks she does.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's relevant to your dinner howl?
She's going to be put on the list if she's not careful.
Wow.
She doesn't want to be on the list.
No, she doesn't.
She's a bitch.
And while we're talking lists, we have the starting lineup for the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show in London. This year's Victoria's Secret Fashion Show. You want to know who the starting lineup is?
Please. Very much so.
Adriana Lima and Alessandra Ambrosio.
Of course.
Of course, will be headlining, and each will be wearing the fantasy bra, the $2 million bra. It's $1 million a boob, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deltson Kroos.
Yep.
Yeah, she's a good deal, too.
Candace Swanepoel.
Yes.
Yes.
Lily Aldridge.
Right on.
Bahati Prinsloo.
Yes.
Righteous.
Carly Kloss.
Sweet. Wow, this is the 27 Yankees, man.
Lindsay Ellington.
Yes.
And Jordan Dunn. We'll all be walking the catwalk on that special that we'll all get to see on CBS.
When's this?
This holiday season sometime. Okay. I don't have an official date here, but they televise it on CBS each and every Christmas. It's just like Rudolph. It's a Christmas tradition.
It's better. Yeah.
Sometimes they add bad music, though. So, have you heard anything about that?
Taylor Swift the performers? Oh, no, I have not heard his performing musically, but I will get into
Bieber
that for
once.
You. And I will also I will find out, and then I will respond with you, like, who cares?
Okay.
It's hot girls in their underwear.
Oh, I agree. I'm still watching.
You can fast forward through Maroon 5 in 3 minutes if you
That's
need to.
That's right. I need Maroon 5 for my refractory period. I need some downtime to recharge my precious bodily fluids.
It does take you a week to watch that one-hour special. I was confused by that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these folks were born today. Whatever day it is. Not here on my... What's today's date?
I think it's the 5th. 5th
of November. Art Garfunkel of the legendary duo Simon Ann. He is 73 years old today. Kris Jenner, evil succubus and pimp of the Kardashian family. She is 59. Robert Patrick turns 56. Singer Bryan Adams is 55. Tilda Swinton, the lovely and talented, is 54.
He's your favorite, Kevin.
Yes, he is.
Tatum O'Neal's 51. Femke Jensen, she's 50 years old today. That's a spectacular 50. Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite actors on the planet of all time evers. He's 46 years old. Singer Ryan Adams is 40. What are the odds that Bryan Adams and Ryan Adams would have the same birthday?
I don't know the odds to that.
Kismet, that's what that is right there. And singer Kevin Jonas. We talked about the fact that he's going to be one of Donald Trump's new Celebrity Apprentice competitors. 27 today.
Are those Jonas Brothers assholes?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
See, Lisa, he's got a lump in his throat, too. It's all right.
Oh, thanks.
It's okay.
I feel better.
It's the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:09.
We have playoff soccer tickets for you. Galaxy versus Real Salt Lake this Sunday at the StubHub Center on the program today. Also, you want to go see Metallica at BlizzCon 2014? We got tickets for that, and Ralph will hook you up with Dumb and Dumber 2. That's all on the way. First, though, I think it was in the Bible. It said, haters going to hate, player's going to play, and tweeter's going to tweet, right? Isn't that how it goes?
No, that's Tadoff Switler, and you're trying to confuse the idea that you put out good tweets. We're trying to clarify.
Tweet.
And you don't have to tweet.
Well, nobody has to tweet, Ralph.
That's what I'm trying to impress upon you.
Well, what's the problem here?
You and your tweets.
Again, I would like to point out, following somebody on Twitter is voluntary. And clearly, the people who choose to follow me get some value out of my tweets.
I would beg to differ.
It may not be for you. It may not be for Kevin. It may not be for everybody.
That's like saying, oh, you know arsenic, the poison? It's for some people. Some people should be able to eat arsenic. No, we right. want no one to be poisoned is what we're saying.
What's your beef this time?
Well, let's take a look.
Is there anyone other than me young enough to be on Twitter, but also old enough to be pleased with how good the new Cat Stevens album is?
Come on, Bean.
That wasn't meant to be funny, by the way.
That was the funniest tweet that you've put out in years.
Yeah. It wasn't meant to be funny at all because the new Cat Stevens album is really good, but it occurred to me that maybe a lot of people on Twitter wouldn't know or care about Cat Stevens.
Yeah.
At that point, I don't tweet it because right. most people on Twitter don't know of him or care.
Well,
I trust my gut on that, and yeah. I just say, this is maybe just for me, then, my enjoyment of Cat Stevens.
I was trying to bond with that small subset of people who are like me, who happen to be on Twitter. That's
There's
all.
Nobody
There's
like
no
you.
One.
That's good album.
Tweet.
Giving blood right now, I was just asked if I was biologically born a male. Not on their questionnaire. They were just curious, I guess.
Okay. What is that, Lisa? Lisa muttering under her breath. It just struck me as an odd question
that
I've never,
tweet.
Never been asked before, and I just wondered if they saw something in me that I'm not yep. seeing in myself. That's all.
I'm going to say they did.
Okay. Today is my wedding anniversary, or as my wife calls it, her 9/11.
That's that tweet.
Nothing on that? Come on. Because it's a terrible day for us. The remembrance of an awful thing that happened in her life that just scarred her that she'll never get over. You guys don't get it, man.
Oh, we get it.
That's that tweet.
Unfortunately for Donna, 9/11 was over in a day.
But this marriage apparently is forever.
Yeah.
My wife just pointed out that even if I had any muscle memory, I would have no place to keep it.
Because I have no muscle. Yeah. That was her.
Bean,
she was
we get it.
Observing.
We get it.
Bean, if you don't mind, we get it.
We get it.
I didn't even get that. That's how bad that was.
Because I have no muscles to put a muscle memory in, Lisa. That's the point. She was making fun of how flabby I am. There's a lot of sighing going on in here, guys.
The guy who gave the fly its name was not trying very hard.
Good read, Ralph.
Really? I mean,
because somebody at some point
tweet about a guy who gave a fly its name.
The fly its name. Some guy looked around and said, "Oh, that little thing is fly. Let's call it a fly." I mean, that's just not even trying, right? Who's with me?
Nobody. Who has these thoughts?
Same could be said about your tweets, by the way. That's not even trying.
Thanks for that tweet.
Well, thanks to hashtag ludicrous, I now have trouble spelling ludicrous.
Has ever happened to you where a word
tweet
where a word tweet spelled differently than the standard spelling that screws you up in your real life? That's all. That was the point there.
Yeah. We get the point.
point. Stop it.
Did you get very far? Did she put up a fight? Just now realizing that Summer Nights from Greece is a little bit date rapey.
This thing is on?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
You know how...
Yes! We know!
We've all seen Grease. We know the song Summer Nights.
Yes. How much time do you spend in 2014 thinking about Grease?
Breaking down Danny and Sandy.
I heard the song and I thought, wow, if that song came out today, people would think it was a little aggressive. That's all. At the time, we
just had tweet.
Yeah, good thing it came out then, huh?
Sure, good thing. It came out in the 70s, about the 50s. Which, if you multiply it, puts you back in the 20s.
Now I'm confused.
Enough clowning around. Where's the plane?
Yeah. Thank you.
Whoever wrote that is right.
I'm with that guy.
You're talking about the Malaysian Airlines plane that disappeared 8 months ago?
I think it's been around six, yeah.
Six months ago.
Where is it?
Right.
Where's the plane?
You can say that until you're dead. I don't think you're going to get an answer.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It's in the ocean, by the way.
I don't like it.
And if you do get an answer, everyone's going to get the same answer, and you'll get it whether you ask for it or not. You don't need to ask for that.
They're not waiting for someone to say, why doesn't anyone care about our plane, where it is? We got all this information about
it. We found out all about it, but no one's tweeted.
What seems to be asking?
And finally,
if you weren't wasting time on your phone right now, you wouldn't be reading this stupid tweet.
God damn you to hell.
Truer words were never spoken.
Thanks for that tweet.
We need to do a phone topic one time on ideas that you had when you were drunk that you were convinced were the greatest idea ever. And then afterwards, once you sobered up and realized it was a terrible idea. I think that would be a fascinating thing because it happens to everybody, including the kids that are in our studio right now. Producer Dave and Chip, who answers the phones here on the Kevin Mitchell. Hi, you guys.
How's it going? I don't understand the connection into this break.
Oh, everybody will. You don't? You don't need to. Everybody else will.
What happened? Guys, where were you? When did you hatch this awful plan?
Well, it all started back at Comic-Con. Okay. And, you know, we after a hard day's work, we go have a couple of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Couple. Well, we came up with this brilliant idea that, hey, you know, Rocktober's coming up. We miss Melfon. Wouldn't it be great if we brought the band back together and made some Walking Dead songs?
This was 2 a.m. after bar closing, by the way.
We all love The Walking Dead. We all love to rock. Right. You know? Mm-hmm.
You say get the guys back together. The band back together.
Yeah, Melfon. Melfon. We used to do that. That used to be fun.
So Ralph was the drummer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Psycho Mike was playing guitar.
I was on cowbell.
I was rocking the cowbell.
Lisa was the slide whistle.
So how many of us did you contact about this brilliant idea?
None.
Okay.
None.
We decided. Just the power players.
Yeah, we decided. You know what? We don't need anyone else. You know, no one's feeling Melfon.
We own the name. You're going to hear from our lawyers.
So it's a Melfon spinoff group. Now, why did you decide to do just songs about The Walking Dead?
Because we all love The Walking Dead, and that was probably the easiest we could do, and they're pretty funny, you know?
Okay. Hey, look, that's not a terrible idea, a band that does songs about The Walking Dead. I mean, there's that Harry and the Potters that does all the Potter songs that's popular. I mean, you could actually do something with this if it's good.
Do you remember the powerhouse Megatron? Remember when we had them?
No, what was Megatron? No. Which one were they?
All Transformers songs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They came in and
performed live, so.
But being the key here is that you said you could pull this off. If it's good.
If the songs are good, right.
Yeah.
But Chip's an actual musician. She plays bass for reals.
Yeah.
Dave's got no music.
Dave's got no music.
Who wrote the songs?
I wrote two. Chip wrote one.
And it's more of, let's just do, go.
Yeah. And, the songs we decided to write, some of them were our favorite scenes or... You know, like one of the songs is called Spoiler Alert, where we kind of recap
That's the first one that we have.
Yeah, we kind of recap the series so far.
Yes, yeah,
so
if you've missed up till now and you want to jump in at the fifth season, we helped you out and just gave you everything.
What's the name of the band now? Is it Melfon?
No. We could have never.
Right.
What is it? Melfon. So it's Daryl's Crossbow.
Daryl's crossbow.
Daryl's crossbow.
Yeah, because everyone loves Daryl, right?
Yep.
Of course, so, sure.
Yeah.
Although he needs a haircut. All right, let's. do we have a world premiere jingle or anything like that? We're gonna play this one.
Begin sequence.
Wow.
Now,
nice.
A K-Rock world premiere.
Get ready to rock.
K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Season 1!
Rick wakes up!
Shane, Becky, Lori!
CDC goes boom! Kill Carl! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Season 2!
Sophia is a zombie!
Carl kills Shane! We're all infected!
Think this is over, Bean?
Kill Carl! Spoiler alert!
3 seasons to go.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Season 3!
Glory dies!
Judith is born!
The governor's a dick! Adria's dead! Kill Carl! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
That was it, though, right?
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Season 4!
Carol kills!
Herschel's dead!
Here we go, season 5.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Season 5!
They eat people like Terminus! Kill Carl!
Oh, man. This is just you guys jamming out. Faith has been melted right now.
No kidding.
You're welcome.
Are you, like, destroying your instruments?
Glenn dies.
In the comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, there they are. Daryl's crossbow world premiere of Spoiler Alert. Look, I don't want to be the outlier here. I enjoyed that. I thought that was terrific.
Yeah, because
well, terrific
it rocked.
Might be strong.
Terrific is a little strong.
I liked it. Hey, it's as good as most of the Internet Roundup videos we see.
I'm just saying, Acoustic Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
I know we're announcing, but,
uh-huh.
you know.
Right.
Just saying.
As much as I enjoyed it, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're not going to have time to hear your other songs just now.
Too much
good.
Congratulations. I assume you'll be leaving the show soon to tour full time, right?
If you tour, I mean just playing The Talking Dead, and yeah, that's our
You're
goal.
Not playing The Talking Dead.
That's our goal.
You're not playing. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
No, by the way, that's not going to happen. No. Nope.
That was their best song by far, B.
Yeah.
So. Okay. All right. Hey, look, the Beatles started somewhere, okay?
I'm just saying.
Do you think they started with Spoiler Alert?
Yeah. I'm just saying, we have a lot of breaks today. You know, we should come back. And
we haven't even wrote Tainted Meat yet.
Tainted Meat is going to be awesome. That's going to be your encore for years. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday. By the way, we haven't forgotten. K-Rock's 25th annual Almost Acoustic Christmas announcement is coming very, very soon. So keep on checking back from time to time. You're going to be very excited by the news, I think. Don't you think, Kevin?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's exciting every year, but this year more than ever. Ralph gave us a story yesterday that was almost hard to believe. You know, it almost seemed like a joke that you can't find anything that somebody won't complain about. There's a very funny series of commercials that DirecTV has been running lately with actor Rob Lowe. And he is in the commercials with somebody who is also played by him in a different character. There's a mean Rob Lowe and there's a painfully shy Rob Lowe. And they're
the
very funny.
Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
That's right. They're very funny commercials. But the one that has drawn the ire of a particular group is the one where the painfully shy Rob Lowe can't urinate in public. Have you seen the commercial, Kevin?
I've not seen this one, no.
And yeah,
by in public, you mean in a public restroom?
In a restroom, okay. Yeah, in a restroom. He can't go when other people are around, which apparently is a real thing. And it's a real thing that that apparently there's an organization called the International Pararesis Association. And the CEO, Steve Soifer, is furious at DirecTV for these commercials. The ad is in poor taste and ridicules a serious problem. He says some 7% of Americans have some form of shy bladder syndrome. We don't mind if people have a little fun with it. It's a situation that a lot of people don't understand in this particular case. The portrayal makes us look ridiculous, like the guy is some loser for having the problem. So he is campaigning to get DirecTV to remove the Rob Lowe ad.
You
Dear
know,
God, that, you people trying to get stuff pulled.
Don't we all kind of know someone who has that issue? It's
I don't,
not that
but-
crazy rare, and it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, and even if I did, so what?
Mock him, or it's just ridiculous.
Let's talk to him.
Oh, we have him on the phone?
Yeah, Steve. We have Steve on the phone.
Mr. Soifer?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're good. Fine. You're the CEO of the International Paresis Association. I am unfamiliar with that word. Is that the medical term for not being able to pee in public?
Paresis is the actual medical term, yes, of not being able to urinate in public due to shy bladder syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But nobody came to your house and mocked you or pointed at you or called you out or made you a public figure because you can't pee in a public restroom. It's just a commercial about DirecTV.
But when they have this character of painfully awkward Rob Lowe,
mm-hmm.
he is geeky looking, goofy looking, wears a fanny pack, has his hair, greasy hair parted in the middle,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. and they make him a subject of ridicule and derision, and that is trying to represent that those of us with a shy bladder are, in fact, somehow geeky or goofy or mocking us in some way.
Steve, are you right now wearing a fanny pack?
No, I have never owned a fanny pack in my entire life. So.
All right. Okay. Well, look, just because one character on TV who has shy bladder syndrome is a geek doesn't mean that anyone thinks all of them are.
What if that character had no arms or legs? Would you make fun of him then?
Probably more.
I don't see the relationship between those two.
Because it is a medical problem that we have. And
what?
I have to go to the bathroom so bad.
Well, go ahead. We can hold, Steve. Go ahead.
I can't because I'm talking to you.
Oh, I see. You can't pee if you're on the phone.
No, and I can't pee if I know I have to talk on the phone.
Oh, wow.
Or
if someone
might call me or perhaps maybe knock on the door.
So that sounds like a lot of rules.
I can only go at a very specific time in the middle of the night.
When no one's looking.
No one will bother me and no one will look. Ow!
That does seem like a painful way to live.
Sounds painful, yeah. Oh, you're growing. That's great.
No, someone's pouring themselves a cup of coffee. Do not pour anything, please. It does not help. Thank you.
Yeah, that just makes it worse when you got to hear the sound of liquid like that.
Here from the office, yeah.
Okay. Got to pee.
So I would just like DirecTV.
What's happening, Steve?
I don't even know what that is.
Nor do I, but it's supposed to be a shower.
I'm sorry.
I would beg to differ.
Can we hear that again? Because I'm not sure that sounds... That is not a shower.
It sounds like a
trash truck backing up.
Now I feel my bladder's been put in a trash compactor.
Did I just hear somebody in your office say, my bad?
Yeah, somebody in the office, so. Oh,
you're finally peeing. That's great.
Oh, that apparently is. What is that now? What's that supposed to be?
That's water trickling out of a hose.
Water trickling out of a hose.
I got to tell you, that sounds a lot like our man Omar.
Sounds a lot like the first sound effect, too, I thought. Oh, it must be. Is that a babbling brook of some kind?
Guy swimming.
A guy swimming?
I no longer have to pee.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Is the new Call of Duty worth your time and money? We'll talk to the experts from the Inside Gaming on Machinima coming up right off the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets to a very special event, the K-Rock screening of Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yay!
Yes. Dumb and Dumber
2.
2. The return of Harry and Lloyd. Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels return in their legendary roles some 20 years later. If you'd like to see it, we're having a special K-Rock screening on November the 11th at the AMC Burbank 16. Five lucky callers right now. 1-800-520-1067. Five callers. First five callers at that number will get a pair of passes to see our screening. And if you don't win, don't feel too badly, because on November the 14th, the movie will be in theaters everywhere, and you can check it out then. Dumb and Dumber.
Two.
Charlie Sheen's ex-girlfriend, 25-year-old porn star Brett Rossi, has been hospitalized for an apparent overdose after her engagement to Charlie was recently called off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not good at all. Although, doesn't any woman see a missed wedding with Charlie Sheen as a blessing as opposed to a curse? She dodged a bullet. This girl should be dancing.
Yeah.
Maybe not right.
Maybe she went on a bender, though. She was so happy.
Oh, maybe. She was found unresponsive by a friend in her L.A. home and then rushed to the hospital where she had her stomach pumped. And apparently Charlie knows about the overdose. He's been in touch with her, and he wishes her all the best. Well, that's nice of him.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck with that. Take Dr. Drew when you need him.
Yeah. That's right. Winning. Britney Spears is upset with Mario Lopez. Well, who isn't? Aren't we all? Watch that freaking Access Hollywood show.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
I think he's extra.
Ah, that's right.
Is that still a thing?
Apparently it is. Hmm. She's furious.
Because?
He has written his autobiography. And apparently gives details about their one-night stand.
Why, Brittany, why?
She thinks it's sleazy. To name drop. Like that.
How
so
else?
She is publicly telling anyone to listen that he was one of the most selfish lovers she's ever had. She says she nicknamed him the Minuteman.
Oh, no, she
because
didn't.
Because he couldn't make it past 60 seconds. Oh, snap, girlfriend!
So she's admitting it happened.
Yes.
And is just trying to retaliate, make him look bad.
This is the counter blow.
How else is Mario Lopez going to get anybody to read his book?
Yeah.
Come on.
He's got to put some salacious details about people who are actually famous in there, doesn't he?
Right.
Or else it's just a bunch of stories of him and Screech.
Right.
It's Britney, bitch.
Kathy Griffin has confirmed that she's been offered a chance to host E's Fashion Police, taking over the role Joan Rivers vacated in September.
She's certainly the logical choice, I would imagine.
Yeah. She has said, though, I don't know if the situation is correct at this time or right for me at this time.
Okay.
When would it be right, Kathy Griffin? Maybe she doesn't want to follow in Joan's footsteps. Maybe she doesn't want to be compared. Maybe she wants to be the person who follows the person. You know what I mean?
That usually only happens after somebody who's great. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know, but I think Kathy thinks Joan was great.
Really?
Yeah, if that makes any sense. Oh, yeah. Kathy was a huge, that was like her hero, her idol was Joan Rivers.
Oh, wow.
So I think she would feel awkward following in her footsteps, perhaps.
I would never, ever watch that show, but I bet she'd be great on it.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Seems like it's right in her wheelhouse.
And speaking of shows I've never watched and never would, I'm not familiar with the Honey Boo Boo cast of characters, but okay. there is an Uncle Poodle. There is an Uncle Poodle.
Love
yeah,
these
Uncle
names.
Poodle, right.
Uh-huh, Uncle Poodle. Uncle Poodle is an actual dog? Is he a poodle?
No.
He's an actual person. Uncle. He's an actual uncle.
I think he's. I
is
mean, he's
Mama
either,
June's brother. I'm guessing.
I think so. Or maybe Sugar Bear's brother. One of them. Yeah.
Well, it makes more sense of a Sugar Bear's brother because Uncle Poodle has announced he wants his own TV show. He's created an online petition, which would give him a show. I don't know how, but it would give him a show moving from Georgia to New York City, along with someone named Sugar Bear, which I guess would be his brother.
I guess probably so.
And he says it would be the reverse of Green Acres. Where country people move to the city. Well, that's never been done before. And by the way, I didn't know you could get a TV show just by having an online petition.
If
that's the case, I would have started a petition years ago.
That's not how it works.
Apparently, Uncle Poodle believes it is. I wonder what Aunt Pomeranian thinks. Who are these people? What's going on?
I think he's a fairly minor character on the Honey Boo Boo show, and he believes he deserves his own show now.
I bet they all want shows.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they're all out of work.
I will say one thing about, and I only know this show from us covering it here on the Kevin Bean program. I didn't watch it for pleasure or anything like that. But the one fascinating thing is, and this will surprise you, Ralph, because I know the impression you have of how redneck that whole, you know, community is down there.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Poodle, super gay. Super gay, got a live-in boyfriend, maybe husband by now.
Uh-huh.
Everybody 100% completely accepting of him and them, and there's never been any problem with that.
Hmm.
There's a little bit of a surprise in that little tiny Georgia town to me.
Hmm. How about the fact
more open-minded than you might expect?
How about the fact that they call him Poodle? He's a gay guy, and they call him Poodle. You think that?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a little bit derisive at all.
That's what he calls himself. He seems to love the name. I don't know what the origin is of it, but it was a surprise to me.
Still no TV show, right?
This is better than Uncle Homo, whatever they were calling him before Poodle.
Right, exactly. Oh,
Still got that petition going.
Yep. Yeah.
And speaking of TV, The Mentalist. CBS says its upcoming seventh season will be its last. Season premieres on Sunday, November the 30th, and then the two-hour season finale is set for February the 18th. So say goodbye to The Mentalist. Or actually, don't. Just think it, and he'll hear you. He'll know that you're saying goodbye. I watched the show a lot when it first came on, and then I kind of lost interest.
Same.
I don't know how it got away from me, but I guess life goes on, huh?
Other things come in, something's got to go.
Yeah. And NBC's Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon has announced that you, too, will begin a week-long residency on their television program, much like the Foo Fighters did recently with David Letterman.
Right.
They will do a week-long residency on starting Monday, the 17th of November. The band will hang out and perform each and every night for a week on the Tonight Show.
And will my TV automatically go to that channel even though I don't want it?
Your DVR will automatically record their performance whether you're interested or not.
Okay.
Because that's what they do now. By the way, people, stop sending me names of bands you think have been together longer than you two.
Well, I was very excited about that.
Take up with Rolling Stone magazine. They were the ones who published the article.
Keep those letters coming.
I'm tired of having to do your research for you. ZZ Top! ZZ Top is together! No, the original lineup was not the guys that those three guys are in the band now. It's just not the case.
Those three guys have been together a long time.
They have, absolutely.
But that's not the band from
the
inception.
The criteria, yesterday, was had to be the first lineup, the original lineup, has been together for the entire length of the band with no hiatuses, no breaks, no solo albums, no separations. And been together for the entire time the band's been out.
I feel like our listeners may have misunderstood that you were guessing at the top 10 instead of reading an actual list that somebody else had prepared and done the research for.
Right.
Yes.
So and they keep going. Rolling Stone said you too right. wins.
They, 36 years and counting.
Right. They did the research and they said from everyone they can see, you too is the one.
So email you or Rolling Stone?
I would say Jan Wenner would be a better email than to me because I just read it out loud. Means nothing to me personally. I have no stake. I have no dog in this fight, if you will. No horse in this race.
Are any of the people angry at you?
Many of them. Right. Angry X fans and ZZ Top fans. And
what about the Rolling Stones, dude?
Yeah, well, they don't qualify. Because
what about AC/DC,
they've
man?
They've had members die and they've changed members. Listen to me.
Most importantly, not Ralph's list. If you missed it yesterday, Ralph said that no band has been together longer than Fall Out Boy.
No. Rolling Stone magazine said U2 is the longest running band on the planet because for some 36 years they have been together in their original incarnation. The first time the band ever got together to now is the same lineup, and they've been constantly performing, recording, and together for the past 36 years.
So if you don't agree, email Ralph.
No, leave me out of it. Oh. So everyone else seems to have an opinion on who they think should be number one. I don't know. And more importantly, I don't care.
I was impressed that Rolling Stone unearthed that nugget, by the way, that was right there in front of all of us, and none of us ever really had thought about it
before. Well, I'm upset that they've unearthed that nugget. I wish that nugget had stayed buried.
They have made your life more miserable.
They have. Today's celebrity birthdays. A lot of famous people born today on the 5th of November. Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 27. Ryan Adams. Look, play it or don't play it. I'm going to give you a window. If you don't jump in there and play it, I can only wait for so long.
I hear you. My bad.
Ryan Adams. Ryan Adams and Bryan Adams both celebrate their birthdays today. Ryan's 40. Bryan's 55. Sam Rockwell. Love him. 46 years old. Famke Johnson. 50 years old. Tatum O'Neal is 51. Tilda Swinton's 54. Robert Patrick. We just had him in for Scorpion recently.
We did.
He's also one of the Terminators, 56 years old. Kris Jenner is 59. And Art Garfunkel of the legendary performing duo Simon and Garfunkel. He is 73 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And you don't want to miss your way into the Secret K-Rock Show with the Foo Fighters. We can tell you very little beyond that, but you can get some more details at K-Rock.com and keep listening for your chance to win here on K-Rock. We got them for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Inside Gaming on Machinima Bruce Green, Adam Kovic. Welcome back to the Kevin B. Show, guys. How are you?
How's it going, guys?
Thank you for clapping.
Very good.
That was ridiculous.
Pleasure to see you. A lot of stuff always going on in the world of gaming, but particularly right now as we head into the holidays. And this week it has been all about Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. You guys have spent a lot of time on it on the site, but bring our listeners up to speed with what we need to know and think.
In a future where you can wear a mech suit, you can continue shooting people. That's really bad. I mean, look, it's Call of Duty. It's the biggest selling annual game that's not football or European football. It's one of those huge franchises. And Activision.
How many incarnations are we into now of Call of Duty?
What is this, eight?
Eight or nine?
Is it nine?
We've lost count.
Okay.
We've become desensitized.
It's turned into the Fast and the Furious movies. There's just so many of them now, you can't keep them straight.
Does each one make significant advances?
In technology, sort of.
Recently, yes.
Yeah.
Last year's Call of Duty's Ghosts, kind of.
But not really.
Because it came out on Next Generation and... it had some advancements, but this one, Advanced Warfare, actually looking at it, looks really good. From a visual standpoint and from a gameplay standpoint, it actually changes. So on the side of Ghost, rather than just adding like a dog, like the last one did, now you have a mech suit, you look like Tom Cruise from Edge of Tomorrow, and you can jump really high and shoot guys and punch them really hard.
Yes.
That's it.
How much do gamers want war games to reflect actual 21st century war in that exists?
That's a really good question. I don't think they do at all. I think they want to just, like Adam said, punch dudes and shoot dudes. I really don't think we want to see what actual warfare is like, which is why it's becoming the future of, you know, mech suits and giant tanks and things like that, because that's fun. That's badass.
Are drones in?
There's thousands of drones that you shoot. I mean, like, that's the first thing you do. You get in this tank and you shoot down thousands of drones within the first 2 minutes of Call of Duty. So that's not war at all.
Now, I was at Best Buy yesterday, and I think virtually everyone that was standing in line was there to buy Call of Duty. I mean, that was what brought them to the store for release day. How big is this thing going to be?
That's actually something we're really interested in right now, because the franchise, as far as we know, is kind of on the decline. A lot of analysts have said that this is going to be the first one to not – I mean, it's going to sell 15 million units as opposed to 30 million units.
Right.
It's like, boo-hoo.
So it's still going to be huge, but just not the monster that it was.
Right, not as big. Right. Actually, I'm interested to see. Did you buy Call of Duty last year?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
Yes.
Are you going to buy it this year?
Yes, but I haven't yet.
Oh, okay.
But I will.
All right. Bean, what about you?
No, I'm not a big gamer. I mean, I'm fascinated with it. I totally get it. But I just, you know, it's like country music for some people. They understand that other people like it. They just never got into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's kind of on the way right now. A lot of people don't know if people will buy Call of Duty this year, which means next year we may not have a Call of Duty.
No.
Is that possible?
It's possible.
But if they sell even 15 million units, I mean,
then they'll make it worth coming back.
They'll make another one.
Didn't last year make like 100 million in one day?
They kind of fudged the numbers a little bit.
Okay, what were the real numbers?
No, well, here's the other thing, too.
Real-ish.
Unlike the film industry, the gaming industry doesn't have to release any of their numbers. So the PR companies can skew it. Obviously, they're not lying, but they'll say something like, it's the biggest entertainment franchise with a gun this month.
Right,
like,
sure. Very specific categories.
Yes. And Ghost was interesting because it launched on 4 or possibly 5 platforms last year.
Right.
So it's going to sell well regardless, but it launched on new hardware, and so it was a little buggy.
Right.
Didn't really work that great. It didn't look as good as we thought it would.
Right.
But now the install base is much higher with this iteration. Now everyone has an Xbox One, everyone has a PS4, and obviously the previous consoles before, everyone still has. So realistically, this one is poised to sell better. It's just right now the temperature for Call of Duty seems to be waning a little bit.
Bruce and Adam are here from Inside Gaming on Machinima. We're talking about Call of Duty, the new incarnation that was just released this week. I want to ask you one more question about that and then talk about some of the other games for the holidays. And that is, if you guys were in charge, what change would you make to Call of Duty? How would you improve it?
Oh, my gosh. That's such a hard question. We actually were just trying to answer that question the other day. Honestly, they're doing what they could. Did you play Titanfall? Do you know about Titanfall with mechs and the wall running and the jetpacks and things like that?
Titanfall's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I thought Titanfall beat Call of Duty to the punch. If Call of Duty had been able to add those things this year and make that the innovation,
right,
then that would have been the new big thing.
They weren't able to do it.
That is a crazy thing, though, because how long ago do they start making this Call of Duty?
About 3 years.
It takes 3 years.
Especially with the new hardware. It used to be 2 years, and now they have three different studios every 3 years putting out a new game. So it doesn't cost as much as, like, say, producing a movie, but it's still an expense.
So there's a new Call of Duty each year. Just from a different studio.
Exactly.
From
they're rotating.
They all help each other a little bit here and there, but it's not exactly clear because they don't want the studios really getting mad at
each
other.
But then how do they guess what's going to...
We don't know. We were just talking about
how... Like how do they guess what's going to be hot in 3 years?
Well, the guy that worked on Titanfall used to work at Infinity Ward, which they used to make Call of Duty. And that guy was probably in a... we don't know, but that guy might have been talking to the other guy that made Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. They talked about jetpacks. They talked about wall running. Mm. And who knows what happens then, because they kind of like... They went their separate ways and started making games.
Yeah, so. Last question. Then we want to take a break and come back and talk about the Halo and the new GTA and other stuff, new with Assassin's Creed. I mean, there's so much for the holiday season, but for people who plan on getting Call of Duty, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any kind of shortage this year. This isn't going to be one of those that you got to line up for, camp out for, anything like that.
It was funny.
They made plenty.
Well, to your point, Bane, it was kind of funny. There are still a lot of traditionalists who go to the store and buy stuff, but
right
now with the new consoles, you can download day one, and Call of Duty, probably the only franchise can get away with this, had day zero. So you can get it even like a day earlier.
Okay.
I get it's a parody of itself. But, yeah. But the point is, you can get it. There are digital downloads if you have an internet connection that supports it, but there is no shortage. It's not going anywhere.
We have many more questions we've got to ask you about. Like I said, all those other new games. And since the last time we had you in, Bruce, Gamergate happened as well.
Oh,
so you hate women. We want to find out about that.
Wait a minute.
When we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friends Bruce Green and Adam Kovic in studio with us right now. How big are your YouTube channels these days, you guys?
They're doing great. Actually, on the Inside Gaming channel, we just crossed 100 million views. We just did that within a year and a half. So that's been doing well. And the Machinima channel, it does its billions of views a month.
I think it's like 12 million subscribers or something like that.
It just jumped up, yeah. So YouTube's doing good for us. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You're almost as popular as Alex from Target. Hey, let's start. We talked a lot about Call of Duty, which is the big release of the week. But we are into the holiday season, and there's a ton of stuff coming out. Where do you want to start? Let's hit a couple of these big ones. Let's start with Halo, this Master Chief Collection that's coming out next week.
Yeah. I'm a big Halo nerd. I'm the big dork.
Huge
so,
Halo nerd.
Yeah. So this game has been advertised almost to nobody because it was made specifically for me. It's Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4. They call it the Master Chief Collection because it's starring the main protagonist. None of the real spinoffs are in there. But they're re-releasing every game on one disc or one download on Xbox One. So they're kind of encouraging people who are Halo fans and Xbox fans to buy an Xbox.
Is there something that you don't have in it, though?
Yes. So the big thing is Halo 2 Anniversary. Halo 2 is a huge game that came out in 2004, I want to say.
Right.
And they redid the entire game. They do this really cool thing where they're running two game engines on top of each other. So any time during the game you hit a button and you can see what the game used to look like in 2004 and what it looks like today. Bruce is laughing at me.
Ridiculous.
Do you need that?
I do, yes. I've spent a little bit of time with it. I've got an early copy. I've been doing the review copy, and it is everything I've ever wanted.
Describe a little bit of time.
45 hours. I was playing a little bit last night. Halo is probably my favorite franchise, and this is a pack that was made for me. And they don't need to advertise it because the people who are Halo nerds want this. And it's a good time. It's a good time.
And that is the same could be said for Grand Theft Auto 5, which comes out the week after.
Right. That comes out November 18th. It'll be on PS4, Xbox One. And then it comes out on PC in January. But everybody's going to rebuy the game. And it made $1 billion in 3 days last year. And it'd probably make, $500 million in 3 days this year on brand new systems. Because I want the game on a brand new system because it's going to look 100 times better. I don't know if you saw the first-person trailer that came out yesterday, but it showed GTA 5 in first person on the new systems.
I don't think I've seen that.
It looks amazing. It's literally 100 times better than the actual game.
100 times better?
100 times. I'm totally serious.
Is that science?
It's not science.
Not science.
It is not science. But yes, it looks amazing. So that is definitely worth it.
What's the game that's coming out soon that is not the big name, but the one that you're excited about or think that is going to surprise people?
I think there's two, actually. They're both called Assassin's Creed, and they're,
Something no one's ever heard of.
No, it's not real. No one's really talking about it, but this happens every year where people go, "Oh yeah, Assassin's Creed comes out every year now." But now two are coming out, so they're doing Assassin's Creed Rogue and Assassin's Creed Unity
at the same time,
same day,
same day.
Same day. Yeah, Unity is on the PS4 and Xbox One. Rogue is on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, the older ones.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then, so now you got to buy both, and you got to play both.
And then are they going to upgrade Rogue then later on Xbox One? Then you have to buy it again?
Yeah. Yeah, well, going back to Master Chief Collection and Grand Theft Auto, the new hotness is just to re-release the game that came out last year on the new system so that you will buy it again.
Well, that sounds inexpensive for everybody. All right, listen, before you guys go, we have to ask, because this is something I'm sure that has been talked about a lot in your office and certainly with your viewers, and that is Gamergate has broken since the last time. Now, that was a term that was came up with by an actor, right? Adam Baldwin is the guy who actually came up with the hashtag Gamergate, but it's a hashtag that encompasses a lot of things. The bottom line is your industry being unfriendly or unfair to women.
Actually, you hit something perfect right there, Bean. I don't think Adam Baldwin started it.
I don't know if he started
it. I think he jumped on board with it, but this just adds to the confusion.
There's a lot of confusion about who did what and when.
What has jumped on board with it? In support of or against?
Exactly.
We don't know. Nobody knows.
We cover this industry every day. We live and breathe video games.
Catch people up what it is exactly.
That
you understand.
Okay, here's the thing. This is our world. We love everything about the video game industry. We read everything about it. I was up last night rereading the Wikipedia article, everything about Gamergate.
Right.
I'm still confused.
So I'll tell you what happened. Okay, there was a developer, an indie developer, that ended up sleeping with a lot of other people that were apparently in games editorial, meaning they wrote about video games. So this developer slept with somebody who wrote about video games. Everybody said, oh, ethics in game journalism. I can't believe she slept with somebody who could write about her game. And all of us were like, who cares?
That's a video game. Yeah, what are you talking about?
And all that kind of stuff happens all the time. And then also Anita Sarkeesian came out with a tropes and women in video games, meaning what women are portrayed as in video games, meaning it's always stereotypes.
Yeah.
Anita Sarkeesian was then threatened by, thousands of 14-year-olds on the internet. And that sort of coalesced into this either pro-feminist movement or anti-feminist movement that's called Gamergate. And that's what happened.
So there are 14-year-olds out there making death threats to women. Girls because they're in the industry and have anything to do with video games?
I mean, once again, this all started with ethics and games journalism for a game no one heard of. It has become muddled and become this thing. And then Adam Baldwin jumped on board. And that's the moment when I went, wait, what? The guy from Firefly likes video games or something?
That's what happened. They were threatening women.
It's spread off into a bunch of different tentacles over the past couple of months since it started, but has it ultimately ended up being a useful dialogue that has been had in your industry or no?
No,
nothing good
all.
Has come out of the discussion of maybe what's going on with women v. gaming.
They're literally waving you off, Bean.
It is a leaderless hashtag movement. It will have no effect on anything, and its original
intention. So it's just trollers, basically, just people who want to piss other people off on the internet.
It has become that. When you don't have any sort of face or any sort of leader behind something like this, this is what happens. It becomes just... it's just a thing. It will disappear when everyone buys Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed and moves on with their life.
But this doesn't mean, and I guess just to simplify it down to what's important, Lara Croft's boobs will still be huge in the game.
Oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. No,
okay, because that was my fear, is that's where we were headed, is away from that.
No, I mean, here's what we've been saying. We've been saying, again, there's no need to speak out for or against women in video games. Yes, of course we want women in video games.
Of course.
Of course we want women developers and women publishers.
I got news for you. We want women everywhere.
We want women everywhere. Exactly. And so to us, we're like, no, we're not going to talk about this. That's stupid. Why would we even add our voice to this? Just, of course we are pro, pro women.
Is it just ignore and they'll go away?
I think that's kind of what we hoped. We hoped that would happen, and they haven't gone away yet. I don't know.
Do you have a lot of women working at Machinima?
We don't have a lot, but we do have women working at Machinima. Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I don't know if they even know about it. I think Gamergate's...
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. And that's kind of the... That's our goal, is to just be like, who cares? Just, of course.
Well, thank you for addressing that. I was curious what it was like for somebody with all this unfolding if you're inside the industry. All right, before we go.
I like that they're inside the industry and they have just as much information as we do.
That's cool. I like that.
Anything else you wanted to spread the word on that's either coming out or coming up in the world of video games? It's exciting news, or anything that's going on with the channels that you want to alert our listeners?
Like a new Guitar Hero or anything?
No, that franchise is long dead.
I know. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I think the one thing we forgot to mention was I believe the Xbox One is on sale this holiday. They dropped an additional $50 off it, so it's down to like $350 or something like that if you live in the U.S. So it's a great deal if you're looking for a new console and you want to play the new stuff. That's probably the best way to do it.
And it's well worth it.
I would say so, and if you got the extra $50, get a PS4 as well. Why not? Don't limit your fun, is what I always say.
Don't limit your fun.
Please don't.
The YouTube channels are Inside Gaming or Machinima. Bruce Green, Adam Kovic, thanks so much for coming in, you guys. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Got some playoff soccer tickets for you to see the Los Angeles Galaxy this weekend at StubHub Center. That is coming up. Also, we'll get you hooked up with the Foo Fighters Super Secret K-Rock Show. That's on the way. First, though, got to deal with the serious issue, because if they start talking about taking away my Walking Dead, now you got my attention.
This is the first
thing, Kevin?
This is the first time I've seen this warning on Walking Dead this past Sunday night, but they would flash the white letters that said warning, warning, warning. If you're watching this on satellite, it could go away.
Could not have been more distracting or annoying, by the way.
Nope, not possible.
Really, I mean, it got my attention, which I guess what they were trying to do, but it was startling, that's for sure. So we wanted to find out if this is just bluster, if this is just, two sides just positioning each other, or if there's a real danger of this happening, and what's the actual story. Our friend Mike Schneider is on the phone. He is the executive editor of TV Guide magazine on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. Hey, Mr. Schneider, how are you, sir?
Hello, good morning, guys.
Are we late to this party? Has this been a dispute that's been brewing between these channels and DirecTV for a long time, and we're just hip to it, or did it just start? Is this a new problem?
This is a new dispute. I mean, there are tons of disputes always going on. Right now, for example, if you're a Dish customer, you're not getting any of the Turner networks, so you're not getting CNN or HLN or a lot of those other channels. So these things happen all the time, but this is a new one. And then this was kind of a new tactic to be so aggressive during the number one show on TV and flash that message throughout the hour. I mean, that was kind of bold on their part, because they risk really pissing off their viewers.
But I read some updates that said maybe they're jumping the gun. Like, this is way early.
It is way early, but the reason why they're doing it is a lot of people watch Walking Dead. So you do it now before Walking Dead ends its fall run, because at that point there's no viewers to really try to sway the court of public opinion. So that's why this is really kind of getting underway right now.
I wonder if they let Robert Kirkman know ahead of time that this is what they were planning on doing to his show, because creatively I think he would have been really, really offended and disappointed by the treatment of his show.
I cannot imagine he's happy with it, because it was completely distracting. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anything flash that fast, almost seizure-inducing on TV. And I don't know if you guys were watching, but later on, DirecTV actually bought some airtime on its own on AMC and responded to it. They had a goofy zombie dressed like, it said AMC on his stomach. So we were watching two mega corporations battle it out right in front of our eyes. And, of course, guess who loses in this entire proposition?
That's my thing.
Yeah, Kevin said, he came in on Monday morning and he said, I'm sick of being in the middle of these fights between these Godzillas.
Look, I'm not a Dodger fan, but I know there are a lot of Dodger fans upset that they can't watch the Dodger games because of one of these disputes. Well, it's crazy.
We're just going to see more of these disputes as cable gets more expensive, programming gets more expensive, and there is that real danger now of people possibly cutting the cords. So, everyone's running scared and everyone's trying to make money, and ultimately we're all going to be paying more for cable. The question is, are people going to start shaving their cable bills even more, purchasing fewer channels or dropping cable altogether?
Now, when you talked about the Dish controversy, Michael, that affects the TBS channels, that makes sense because, TNT, TBS, CNI, I understand they're all owned by the same people. What's the connection between AMC, IFC, Sundance, and WeTV that all seem to be bundled together in this dispute with DirecTV?
It's the same thing. They're all owned by the same company. AMC Networks owns or distributes all those channels. And interestingly, they just bought a stake in BBC America, like literally a week or two ago. So now BBC America is also mixed up in this. So
now they might take away my Orphan
Don't
Black.
Take away my Orphan Black. Buildings will burn.
Just to make things even more frightening for you guys. But, right now it's bluster. Right now it's sort of like promising the fire beer mug and then never actually doing it.
Yeah, well, how dare you? Which I'm against, but Bean is apparently for. I know. That's on us, I guess. So
but at some point, it could become an issue.
What point?
Well, down the road. I mean, there's several months left on this contract. But, you know, the big question is, you know, is this still going to be an issue come February when the second half of the Walking Dead season comes back? Now, if this drags on that long, which they generally don't, most of these disputes are usually cleared up pretty quickly. But every once in a while, it gets serious and channels are yanked. So,
like my Weather Channel, when I lost the Weather Channel on DirecTV, that hurt, and that still hurts, by the way. I don't mind telling you.
That's Bean's personal nightmare. He loves the weather so much.
This is the voice of our friend Michael Snyder here on the Kevin and Bean Show from TV Guide Magazine, talking about this dispute between DirecTV and, among other channels, AMC. All right, so tell me if I'm a sucker, Michael. I saw this, and I went to the website, whatever it was that they flashed up on the screen, and basically added my name to a petition to say, hey, DirecTV, don't kick my channel off. Is that a huge waste of my time? Does that make any difference if there's any kind of feedback from the public, or is it all going to be settled by guys in suits in boardrooms?
It's going to be settled by guys in suits in boardrooms. So, you know,
but they gave a phone number, too.
But, you know, and the thing is, you know, both sides have pros and cons. They both have good points and also ridiculous points. So in some ways, it's hard to know in these cases who to root for. Because both sides are asking for either too much money or not enough money. And, you know, it's a classic case of, rich guys in boardrooms fighting it out. It's a business dispute, and I got to believe at some point it'll be resolved before, any of these channels go off.
Is it tough for a satellite company or a cable company to make money because of how expensive it is to acquire all this programming? Or is this just people are fighting over how many millions each side is going to make?
Well, that's becoming increasingly a problem. The profit margins are pretty thin because these channels are getting more and more expensive, and especially sports rights are getting so expensive. So that's where the majority of the real expenses are. You know, ESPN, where you and I pay $6 a month for it, and some of these regional sports networks, and that's what was the heart of that Dodgers dispute that's still going on. Is Time Warner Cable, which actually owns and distributes the Dodgers channel, is asking for almost $5 a subscriber a month, and that's a lot of money. And,
yeah, that adds up fast.
Yeah, and so not everyone's a Dodgers fan or wants to watch that channel.
Oh, so if you want that cable, it doesn't even matter if you're a baseball fan. You still have to pay that $5 extra.
Right, yeah. Right. And at some point, the cable bills get high enough that people really do start looking at other alternatives. And now, you know, we're going to start to see the rise of these. They're called over-the-top TV services, like the one that HBO announced a couple weeks ago and CBS announced. And at some point, people may start investigating and looking at maybe going that route and sticking with their Netflix, their Amazon, their Hulu, a couple of these over-the-top services, and saying goodbye to cable and satellite.
Hey, it's getting to the point where you can realistically do it and not miss much, that's for sure. All right, well, we'll definitely keep an eye on this.
Except
for live sports, exactly. Like you said, we've still got a couple of months before this is going to bubble over and affect us the viewer. But I'm glad you're keeping an eye on it over there at TV Guide Magazine, tvguide.com. And you can follow Michael on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. Always great to get your insight, sir. Thanks for the time.
See you guys.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:52.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up right after the top of the hour. And keep listening for your tickets for Foo Fighters Secret Show. Ralph's here now. Top of the show, Biz Beat on a Wednesday.
Nicki Minaj seems like just a party moment, doesn't she?
Sure.
She got into a huge fight with her ex-boyfriend last summer, according to TMZ. Interesting story about what happened between the two of them. She grabbed a baseball bat, chased him out of their home, and smashed all of the windows of a Mercedes-Benz before throwing his clothes in the trash.
Good times.
She sounds like fun.
She's a delight.
Cops showed up to the scene, but no one was arrested because Nicki had bought the Mercedes-Benz for her boyfriend.
So it was her property?
So her name was on the vehicle, and you can't get arrested for destroying your own property.
How about that? Huh.
So that's the secret. If you want to beat your significant other's stuff up with a baseball bat, make sure your name's on the title.
So if you go home today and burn your own house down, no charges if you own it.
I'm not positive that we've worked that one out. Because there's insurance involved, right?
Yeah, because there's insurance involved. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yes, okay. What? It's okay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, all right.
Let's just make a ruling.
Well, you should, given that your predilection for playing with fire. I would think that would be on your side.
All things fire are good.
If that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Jada Pinkett Smith, star of Gotham. That old man needs to step down, and I will take over.
Jada Pinkett Smith?
She's a bit of an overactor.
No, I think she's understated.
Doesn't take you out of the story at all.
That's
completely charming.
A little bit.
She has announced on Facebook that her husband, Will Smith, has a secret obsession of taking pictures of her while she sleeps.
Oh,
creepy!
Oh, man. What's going on?
She finds it very sexy and endearing that he does that. The whole house is just full of BS, isn't it?
Yeah, it really
the whole
is.
Household is just
kids,
mental.
Everything,
the
yeah.
kids are just loopy. And free-range children, and they let them be their own people, and Will's taking pictures of her while she sleeps. And
maybe he's just happy that she's quiet.
He wants to document those moments. So when she's talking, he can just open up his book of photos and go, oh, remember that time?
Remember that time she was asleep?
When she was not talking to me? It was awesome. A little band called Foo Fighters in the news. That secret show is going to be cool.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Trying to figure out how I can sneak in. I'm thinking I might do one of those the movie things where I go in the kitchen and just grab one of the waiter's jackets and then just start passing hors d'oeuvres or something and sneak in that one.
It's not going to work. No.
They have major plans for...
Although Jimmy Kimmel and I did that for the Oscars.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah.
They have major plans for next summer, July 4th, 2015. The band will celebrate its 20th anniversary with a concert at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. Bean, you're an old Washington, D.C. boy. Did you ever attend any concerts at RFK?
I think I did. I think I saw a couple of things there, and of course, more football games than anything. But yeah, that's, you know, it's your standard stadium venue.
It's going to be an all-day event, lots of music and other fun stuff. All the details will be revealed tomorrow. But if you, for all our D.C. affiliates, those people are in good shape. They're going to have a good time.
Any affiliates?
I think we're still on in D.C. Kevin, I'm pretty sure.
I don't believe so.
We're on
the taint. No, taking off of that.
No, we're not on the taint anymore?
Off.
Oh, I enjoyed the taint.
I thought we were a good fit for the taint.
Yeah, I did, too.
We're off the taint.
It didn't work out.
We are off the taint.
But when you lose the taint, you've lost America.
Christian Bale has discontinued talks to star as Steve Jobs in the story of his life. I think that's sad. Because I think
Ashton Kutcher has already played a role. You don't want to revisit that role, Ralph. Come on.
Seth Rogen is still in negotiations to play Steve Wozniak. But it looks like Michael Fassbender now perhaps in talks to play the part of the Apple founder.
No! No!
Sorry, Christian, you passed. I think Fassbender could do a good job.
Yeah, he'd be great.
Sure.
He, of course, picked up an Oscar nomination last year for his role as the slave owner in 12 Years a Slave. And you know him, of course, as Magneto in X-Men First Class and Days of Future Past. So.
I didn't read the never read the book, but you did, Ralph. Was there a lot of drama in Mr. Jobs' life that lends itself to a good movie?
Yes.
I mean, I know he's a brilliant guy, but I don't know how much seeing a guy sit at a desk inventing the iPod is interesting.
Oh, it's not that at all. I mean, there's a lot of infighting amongst him and Woz, and he was a maniac, a driven maniac who forced...
I've heard he was to the point of crazy.
Yeah, who forced his co-workers and partners to distraction for his... brutal work ethic and is demanding the same from people around him and very flammable temper. Yeah, I think there's a lot there. Plus, Aaron Sorkin's going to write the script.
Right, and he did such a great job with Social Network.
You can get drama out of any situation. And Ariana Grande is a bitch. At least that's what the press seems to want us to believe. Either she is actually a bitch or she has the worst press people in the business.
Could be, yeah.
Because every story you seem to read about her is another slam. This one comes from the National Enquirer. Recent report from her dining at a sushi restaurant here in Los Angeles when other diners complained to management that she was repeatedly and very loudly dropping the F-bomb over dinner. Not necessarily something you want to hear while you're trying to enjoy your...
Yeah, some people were there with their kids.
Your yellowtail. Yeah. So,
she was yelling,
F me, F me, F me,
yeah,
F me, F me, F me.
Ariana Grande microphones were there. So they complain to the management, and the manager goes over to her and asks her to please tone it down. And that's when, according to witnesses, she quickly pointed out, I've got the number one record in the world. To which the manager said, oh, I didn't realize. Here, have some edamame.
Can you imagine how the manager's head would just blow up? That matters to me.
Flick her right in the forehead if she said that to me.
Wow.
Bink. So, yeah. She's unlikable.
Good times.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, November the 5th. Art Garfunkel, 73 years old today. For you kids who don't remember, he used to be teamed up with another guy named Paul Simon. And together, the two of them were one of the most popular musical acts in the world.
They hate each other.
They have a complex relationship. They're like, yeah, they're like brothers. You know, they would argue and stuff and separate, but periodically they come back together again and always perform together in front of a live audience. And,
okay.
That Garfunkel, though, I don't know how much you know about him, is a nut job.
What?
Is he? Ralph. He's a nut job. Well, he's walked across America several times.
Well, maybe he just wanted to get some air
walking.
Does it make him a nut?
He walks across America.
Yeah, so?
Does Will Smith just take pictures of him? He might. When he sleeps, he might, yeah.
What's happening? Kris Jenner's 59 years old. Robert Patrick is 56. Singer Bryan Adams is 55. Singer Ryan Adams is 40. Tilda Swinton turns 54 years old today. Actress Tatum O'Neill is 51. Famke Janssen celebrates her 50th birthday. Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite all-time actors, is 46. Rockwell. That's Rockwell the musician.
You said it was his birthday, though.
Sam Rockwell is an actor.
Oh.
You may know Sam from Galaxy Quest or Confessions of a Dangerous Mind or
The Way.
The Way, Way Back, recently. He's got Laggies in theaters now. Charlie's Angels. What's that? Seven Psychopaths.
So a different guy.
Not that guy.
Hmm. Okay. My bad.
And that guy wasn't even Rockwell. Guy you're seeing, the guy singing in that song, that was Michael Jackson.
That's Michael Jackson's part of the Rockwell
of the song by Rockwell,
yeah, which is terrible.
I'm in the shower now. Kevin Jonas is 27 years old today.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave the King of Mexico, joins us. Have your friends leave. He is here as he joins us every week about this time for a little feature that we like to call the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Okay, rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls, we've got fun and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
Great batch today. You can find it at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. All the best viral videos of the week. We start with our friend Steve-O, who, by the way, Dave, we have to get on the show to discuss how this video was made.
Yeah, this is
he,
not good.
He had his friends duct tape him to a wall to kind of parody a photo shoot that had been done that was fake, he said. But this was for real. We actually see him get duct taped to a wall. And then his friends do what to him, Dave, while he's up there on the wall?
They start shooting stuff at him, like balls, fireworks. And they just throw a bunch of different things at him, and I don't know why.
That's awesome if it's not you on the wall.
Yeah, there's right. Like skyrockets, Roman candles, and they just all line up and shoot.
Like from 15 feet away, they're shooting fireworks right at him, and here's what it sounds like, but you got to see this. And then when he's done, they pull him off the wall and they have to take the tape off of him, and his skin is just on fire.
That's
from
even
that
worse.
Tape being
That's
ripped.
A it's lot of tape.
Horrible.
Yeah.
All right, here's a guy who's shooting his friend during the Cowboys-Redskins game. The Cowboys, who, as you know, have had an unusually good season so far this year, lost in overtime to the Redskins, and this guy starts destroying his own house. Fortunately, tape was being rolled.
Hell will unleash if the Redskins beat a 6-1 Cowboys team. I don't give a You better get a first down. You.
He's
turning over tables and smashing dishes.
That one smells fake to me.
Me too.
And yeah,
it might be.
Exactly.
It might be.
I'm with you, Kevin.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yesterday we did a phone-in topic with our listeners that we got a lot of complaints about. It was people who had insects buried in the, under their skin or in their ear or something like that.
We're never doing that again.
It was a great topic. We should do it
never
once a week.
Again.
And perfect timing to have this video show up. Here's a guy who had a moth fly into his ear, and his friends and family around him trying to pull it out with tweezers. And it's a good close-up video of this moth in his ear. And you'll be shocked at the size of the moth when they do get it out. Listen up.
What's going on? Moth, dude, flew in my ear.
Are you serious?
Yes. Dude, I can hear this blubbering in my head.
Strange. Good thing we're not completely wasted right now.
Right?
Oh, this was in your ear, brother.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it looks like one of those moths you find in your closet that are flying around.
It's
and
bat size.
It's huge.
Pretty big.
And it's alive.
It's
alive.
It's still alive, yeah. Fake ads in movies is a fascinating supercut. You know, lots of products are in films that aren't real. I mean, sometimes they're a plot device. Sometimes they're for comedy. And, Kevin, your favorite of all time, the Al Pacino donut commercial.
Love it.
From the Adam Sandler movie Jack and Jill is in it. But it's a whole supercut of a video that sounds like this.
Al Pacino's booty sweat popping the ass open.
What's my name?
Dunkachino.
I'm Ricky Bobby. If you don't chew Big Red, then you.
Gotta watch it. Very
funny.
That's
the best kind of commercial. Chew it or F you.
Here's a video that got a tremendous amount of online chatter last week. A woman walked around New York City for 10 hours without saying anything and recorded all of the catcalling that was going on. This kind of goes back to that conversation we had about me getting chewed out by that girl because I told her she was pretty.
Yeah.
This is a woman who will show you how it beats you down when you can't walk one block down the street without somebody making a comment about the way you look. And it's actually pretty powerful.
How you doing today? Wow. That's not good.
Wow.
Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? Somebody's acknowledging you. She's an idiot. Damn.
If there's one thing you know, Kevin, it's exhausting being hot.
Right. I mean, it really can be tiring.
Then, of course, then come all the parody videos. Here's what happens when you're a white man walking down the same streets in New York City.
Hey, you look really desirable, but I'm going to respect your privacy.
Hey, do you want a job? Thank you for a job.
Oh, hey, buddy, want a Starbucks gift card?
My latte with that gift card.
Pumpkin spice season, son!
And it just goes on and on. Dave, I know this clip from last week tonight with John Oliver is your favorite. What do you like about it?
Well, I guess Lowe's is having some robots that are going to serve you now, and it says that it's going to replace the salesperson, and Nick Offerman is the perfect salesperson, and he knows how to handle customers like a robot can't.
He can defuse any kind of argument that breaks out, especially with husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends that are shopping when they get into conversations like this one.
Hey, I really like this bamboo floor.
Of course you do. He loves everything Asian, especially the girls he looks at on his porn. What if her daughter were Asian?
How would our daughter be Asian?
Well, we could adopt if you weren't so selfish.
Okay, so if you're asking me if I want to f*** my hypothetical Asian daughter, the answer is no. Home Depot, I don't want a f***ing Asian daughter.
Play hero.
So then Nick Offerman steps in and says, hey, let's look at paint swabs instead.
Yeah, look at this plant. It will take you.
Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter himself's got that new film in theaters that's honked up called Horns. He's making the rounds doing some press, and he was on with Fallon on The Tonight Show, and he raps to the classic hip-hop song by Blackalicious called Alphabet Aerobics, and you're going to be stunned at his skills.
Well, my word with the wise words, Smith just weeded up words, weave enough, I'm a worship, Xerox, Max, radiation, old, Tesla, large, X, height, letter, six, telephone, tones, yellowback, yak, mouth, young ones, yours, yesterday, dawns, all cells are yawns.
Pretty this is a song, by the way, that has like 400 words in it, and he doesn't trip up on any of
That's
them.
That's Daniel Radcliffe.
Hey, Kevin, if I printed out the lyrics, can you sing that song?
Absolutely.
Come on, let's do it.
And finally, and we look forward to this, the first week of November every year on the Internet Roundup, it's the Jimmy Kimmel Live YouTube Challenge. I told my kids I ate all their Halloween candy. So he has parents say that to their kids, film it on and put it up on YouTube for him, and he puts together a supercut. And this year's is as good as any of them.
We ate all the candy.
We'll get some more next time.
Shut up! I was just joking. Okay?
We'll still shut up
Mommy and Daddy ate all your Halloween candy last
Wow.
It's got a little bit of a potty mouth.
Jeez.
Anyway, it is great. You can see that video and all the videos at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us in minutes for This Week in Rage here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I love musical lists. I'm a sucker, man. I'm the guy who will always click if it's here are the 100 best songs of the 90s or here are the 25 saddest songs of all time. I love musical lists. How about you, Kevin? Do you read those?
If they're interesting, some yes, some no.
Yeah.
Okay. Bean, though, is a guy who will go back and listen to countdowns from 1979.
Well, right, that's true. Right.
Like
he
goes the extra step.
And I do love lists, and that may be part of the autism. I don't know. But this was an interesting one that Ralph found for us yesterday that is from Rhythm Magazine. Muggs, you're a drummer, right? You probably subscribe to Rhythm Magazine.
I am a drummer. Yes, Bean.
That's what I've heard.
I myself am a drummer.
And they did a poll on what are the best drum intros of all time. So these are songs that start with drums. What are the best of all times? And it's actually a pretty interesting list. And there's one drummer on there twice, John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. There's another drummer on the list three times in the 10 best drum intros of all time, all three times with three different bands.
Which is insane.
Yes. You must be talking about a rock and roll legend at that point, and it's our friend Dave Grohl, believe it or not. Dave Grohl makes the list three times, according to Rhythm Magazine. So just real quick, let's go through this list, because I thought this was fascinating. The top 10 drum intros of all time. You may not know all of these songs, but we'll hear the very beginning and see what you think of this as a drum open. For instance, number 10, Where Eagles Dare, Iron Maiden. I'm not a drummer, Muggs. What's exceptional about that? That to me sounds like a thousand other songs.
It's just very technical. The bass, the kick, how the drummer's using it all together, and it builds the song up.
That's cute that you ask, Muggs.
Number 9 is the first of three appearances from Dave Grohl with his band Foo Fighters' My Hero. Good song.
I agree. I love it.
Ninth best drum intro of all time? I don't know. Here's one that would be on my list for sure. I think I don't even need to tell you who it is. I mean, everything about that intro is great.
Yeah.
Great guitar, great bass, great drums. I mean, it just gallops. It gets you right into Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. That's also Dave Grohl. That's at number 9. Judas Priest comes in at 7 with Painkiller. That's pretty strong.
That is way strong.
That's some good drumming right there.
That's a little bit more like pure drumming, too.
Yeah, that's what I think, right.
That's double bass.
Number six.
That's double bass.
Number six is...
I, myself, am a drummer.
We don't have time.
So, and I've been...
Right.
I've been lucky to...
We don't have time.
Have been this. Exposed
let's,
to a bunch of different types of music.
My
dad
get back to the list,
grew up listening to jazz,
okay,
and he loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed-minded.
We're doing
but
a top 10 list.
That aside,
let us go.
Let me
to
see
the list.
What else we can
about
here.
Let's not talk about that. Number six is one of the most famous drum breaks of all time. It's at the beginning of When the Levee Breaks by John Bonham and Led Zeppelin. A lot of hip-hop fans will recognize that as one of the most sampled drum breaks of all time, too. Number 5, our friend Dave Grohl is back. His third appearance in this top 10 list. This is when he was drumming for Queens of the Stone Age on that album on A Song for the Dead.
Come on. I mean, if you consider that good drumming.
Grohl do that? How has he not had a heart attack the way he drums? It's amazing.
I don't know.
Here's another one that I think most people familiar with music would have probably thought of this on a category like the best drum intros of all time. It's another classic from Led Zeppelin, John Bonham behind the drums for Rock and Roll.
want to go out and buy a Cadillac, does it, if you remember the commercial?
I don't remember the commercial.
Number three, according to Rhythm Magazine, best drum intros of all time, Guns N' Roses, You Could Be Mine. All right, now we're getting close to the top here, the top two. Let's see if you chose this one from Rush, The Spirit of Radio.
Come on. It's sort of hard to separate great guitar licks from the drums as well, though. I mean, that.
Yeah, everything about that is great. What about that, Mugs?
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Right, okay. We covered that.
I love beats.
Yes.
Right. I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I could get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer.
We don't need a drummer. Actually, we're fine.
Is he talking to Rush?
I don't know who he's talking to. All right, Rhythm Magazine took a poll. What is the best drum intro of all time? Your winner, Van Halen, Hot for Teacher.
Plain White Tees not in there anywhere?
Alex Van Halen, drummer for Van Halen. You know what? Let me check. Maybe they were number 11 on this list. We only had the top 10, I'm sorry to say, so I don't see them. But there you go.
106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
Doesn't look like there's going to be an Ebola epidemic after all, by the way.
Oh, really?
So
didn't it seem like for a minute, like, we were all going to die of the Ebola, and then all of a sudden it was all just that one guy?
Well, if you're watching CNN...
I mean, yes, I'm not disappointed or anything. I'm just a little bit surprised because I thought we were primed. We were going to get it going.
You were excited about it?
No, I just said I'm not excited about it, but it just looked like that's the direction it was headed. Just saying, it just kind of whimpered out on us. Hey, we're getting Adam Carolla on the phone here. You can see the Ace Man live on stage with two great holiday podcast shows. He's going to be appearing at the Grove of Anaheim Thursday night, December 11th at 8. And then the following night on Friday, December 12th, he's going to be at the Canyon Club in Agora Hills. Tickets start at just $30. AdamCarolla.com. Let's bring the Ace Man up right now. Adam, welcome, sir.
Yeah, man. I'm on my cell phone, and not only does my home phone not work, but my power just went out, so my cell phone booster is out as well, so who knows.
So it might get just a three, or you might get up to two, or you might make it to one.
That's correct.
Okay.
Adam, I have a question for you. As a one-time professional contractor and as an actual millionaire, you have a generator, right?
I move comedy. I'm a comedy machine, Bean. I moved, and I don't have a generator at the new house I moved to, and I should, because the power goes out all the time.
You're a bad example.
I'm very disappointed to hear that. All right, well, let's see. Yes.
And right after he told us his phone was about to die, I appreciate a follow-up question before we get to This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
I'll start with three and work my way up to number one, if anyone can hear me. I got to tell you, this father was moved to tears yesterday when my son and daughter were getting ready to go to school, and I was staring at my daughter, and her hair was 3 feet in the air, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "It's crazy hair day, and everyone's making their hair crazy. Can you hear me?"
Yes. Yes. That's just hilarious that that's a thing.
It's a thing. By the way, did you need entertained at school all day, every day, or wasn't it enough that you just go to school?
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of maybe Halloween, every other day was just you go to school to learn day.
Yes, and boy, are they going to be bitterly disappointed when they realize every day at work is it sucks day. I then looked at my son and I said, "Your hair looks normal. What's up?" And he says, "I'm not doing anything to my hair." And I said, "Well, why not? It's crazy hair day." And he said, "It doesn't move the needle."
I'm sorry, he said it doesn't move the needle?
It doesn't move the needle.
Strong.
Okay. All right.
What?
It's got standards.
I know. Because all I do is walk around the house and go, "Why are we wasting our time doing a bunch of crap that doesn't move the needle?" And somehow we'll pick up on it. All right. I'm going to jump to because I feel this phone is just dead.
It is cutting in and out, yeah.
All right. In love with this plan. Look, sadly, the experiment known as Africa has just not worked out. We've been sending Jimmy Carter over there and Bill Gates over there and Bono over there and George Clooney over there. They're dropping off sacks of grain, and it's nothing's going on. We got Ebola, we got malaria, we got ethnic cleansing. We've sent everybody over there, and I realize we're sending the wrong
people. I'm guessing is what he's saying.
Yeah, sending the wrong people. We're sending a bunch of guys, you know, want to go there and sing songs with an acoustic guitar.
We don't want a guy with an acoustic guitar, okay?
Do you speak Adam, Kevin? Is that what's happening?
Piece together the phone call.
You know who's going to turn Africa around?
Who's going to turn Africa around?
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
I can't wait to see this.
Well, he's assistant coach Robert Kraft can buy the place. They'll turn that program around in 3 seasons.
Whatever Adam just said, I'm down with.
Bill Belichick.
Right, Bill Belichick. That's all we're getting, man.
Okay.
Bill Belichick. Turn Africa.
That's all you need to know.
Okay. All right. You're wasting such great material right now that we can't hear. Adam will be speaking into a microphone and not on a cell phone at the Grove of Anaheim December 11th and then at the Canyon Club at Agoura Hills on December 12th. Get your tickets at adamcarolla.com. Don't forget to catch Contractor Air Sunday nights at 10 on Spike TV and buy your mangria for the holidays, goddammit. Thanks, Ace Man. Good luck with your power.
Thank you.
And go to our new Kickstarter page for a new phone for Adam Carolla.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
It's like she skipped every other word.
I forgot how good that was.
You know, I just gave up in the middle. I'm like, I don't know.
Ride the Ray and with immersion.
It was like Adam Carolla's phone line.
Yeah, totally.
One more time. Give me one more time.
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Oh, I think you would try.
Spectacular.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Fantastic. Hey, World of Warcraft fans, you already know that BlizzCon is happening this weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center. We're going to talk to the president and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment, Mike Morhaime. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. Plus, we have your Foo Fighters tickets between 9 and 9:30 right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
What?
BlizzCon.
Oh, BlizzCon.
I think it's something else.
It's BlizzCon. I thought it was some other con.
Oh, that was last weekend in Las Vegas, Ralph.
I didn't realize. I apologize.
That's very different.
I misheard.
Very different.
Very
different.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, say goodbye to the mentalist.
Say goodbye to the mentalist!
Goodbye.
God damn it. Do what I say.
I used to watch that show.
I did, too. I loved the mentalist.
I did, too.
Not enough to keep it on the air, though.
Well.
Its upcoming seventh season will be its last, according to CBS.
Sort of fell off somewhere along the way.
Premieres Sunday, November the 30th, and then its two-hour season finale is set for Wednesday, February the 18th. So fans of The Mentalist can say goodbye properly.
Not many shows get better after season 7.
I don't know if it's a lack of quality or a drop-off even in quality that in this particular case... contributed to the fact that it's time to say goodbye. I think sometimes a high concept show like this one, after about 3 or 4 years, you kind of get it.
You've seen it,
and it's good and it's fine. But something else comes along, maybe captures your attention. You move over and open up some room on your DVR, and it goes by the wayside. But I always loved that. It's going to kill me now that I forget her name. But
the redhead,
yes, tall, statuesque redhead who was on that show.
Yep.
Italian last name, yeah, Rigliotti or something, Amanda Rigotti or Rigliotti or something like that.
Call her Riggs or something?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
I don't know.
Anyway, she was beautiful and talented, and I always enjoyed her work on that show.
Yes. Maybe we need to get her in to say goodbye.
She may be off the show already, I think. I think she left the show a couple seasons ago.
All right.
But we can get her in anyway. Say hello. See what she's been up to.
Hey, what you've been doing.
Speaking of which, where's my Lily, by the way? Where's my freaking Lily?
Don't even get me started on that.
Christine will have a nervous breakdown if you ask for her again.
Here's what happens.
She does not want to come on the show.
She does not want to come on the show.
So then what happens is, like, she says, all right, tomorrow. And then she'll call back later and go, not tomorrow. And then she'll go, you know what? Friday's going to be good. And then she'll call back and go, not Friday.
Well, Milana Weintraub is her name. And apparently she's very busy these days, and she's actually working on a TV project or something, so her calls keep changing, and that's why apparently she's having a hard
time. And that's her story.
But I'm sure she'll be in soon.
She was scheduled for tomorrow, by the way. She canceled that yesterday.
Looking forward to meeting her.
In a month.
Let us know how that goes.
2 months. She'll be on the show.
Mm-hmm. New year.
Kathy Griffin has been offered the seat on the Fashion Police over there on E!, taking over following Joan Rivers' death. However, she has said that she's not sure if the situation is right for her, if this is the right time for her to take over that role or not on E! I think she'd be foolish not to do it.
Do you?
That's perfect. Tailor-made for her.
Is this still a big thing?
Still does very well in the ratings. Hmm. That show is perfect for her. Kathy Griffin making fun of celebrities?
Yeah.
Come on. Doesn't get any better than that.
And she's a huge name in that world.
Yep.
A lot of credibility, very funny. I bet they pay her a ton of money to do it. It's local. Sounds like a win-win for her.
Let's get Kathy on the phone and talk her into it. U2 has announced they will do a week-long residency on NBC's The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon on Monday, November the 17th. The band will chat with Jimmy and perform, and then they will be there each night that week to, of course, promote their new album, Songs of Innocence, and hopefully do some older hits as well. So if you're a U2 fan, you're going to want to watch The Tonight Show starting on the 17th.
Let's take a wager on how many songs Fallon is going to join them on.
Yeah. He'll come out and do some wacky voices. He can be, who's it? Hey, hey, my. Like Neil Young with U2. And when I saw him duetting with Barbra Streisand, I was like, that's great for him. It must be fun to duet with Barbra Streisand. But if you're going to watch Barbra Streisand sing, do you really want Jimmy cracking wise as Elvis next to her? Or would you rather just see Barbra Streisand do her thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know that there are people still out there that just want to see Barbra Streisand.
I think you would be surprised. Huh.
Your wife, for instance.
Maybe. I don't know.
Your wife loves Barbra Streisand, right?
Yes, she did.
She'd rather see Barbra Streisand sing than see Barbra Streisand do comedy with Jimmy Fallon.
Probably. Okay, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Barbra Streisand is still a big star, Kevin. Maybe not in your world.
Whatever.
And that's not whatever. It's fact. She sells out her performances all over the world. I mean, she's really, still a popular
star. She had a number one album in America about a month ago.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not whatever.
It is to me.
But
it can
you,
be whatever to me.
Whatever is in your world doesn't have to do with the real world. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm painfully aware of that.
I don't think
it
you
should
are.
Be the real
you should
world,
have more
but
pain,
not.
First of all. You should be not. More painfully aware of it.
Why does Kevin hate
things?
I don't need Barbra Streisand in my life. I'm
not
good
saying
without.
You need her in your life. I think you can acknowledge the fact that she's a huge star, even though you don't care for her. But when you go, really? People want to see Barbra Streisand? She's her thing. She's been, does anyone care about Barbra Streisand? That shows that you don't see the world.
Can't be surprising.
Really? Vegetables? Really? People eat vegetables? A salad's a thing?
Kevin's going to be an awesome old man, by the way.
He already is.
What else you got, Ralph?
Foo Fighters. Major plans for July 4th next year.
Is it okay with you, Kevin, if they're also popular?
Yeah, July 4th? People still celebrate that? Doesn't seem very popular.
Love July 4th?
It's a thing.
A lot of things exploding.
Is that still a holiday?
Love Foo Fighters.
The countries?
I'm
America,
in for both of these.
Does America still have a country?
Thumbs
I don't know.
Up.
Is it?
Three louds for 4th of July.
It's also pretty far away. I don't know if anyone wants to play it. I say, like, why would you tell us now when it's not till next summer, man? That's stupid.
July 4th, 2015. Foos will celebrate their 20th anniversary with a big concert at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. It'll be an all-day event with music and food and foosball and Chaka Khan.
What?
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. All the details will be revealed tomorrow. You can check it out then when they tell us what's up. Foos? Chaka Khan? Is that still a thing? Whatever. Today's celebrity birthdays: Art Garfunkel, 73 years old today. Kris Jenner, the matriarch and pimp of the Kardashian clan, 59 years old. Robert Patrick is 56 years old. His brother was a musician. Richard.
Yeah. Filter,
that was their band, yeah. Was that Nice Shot, Bud? Wasn't there a hit?
Yeah, Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Yeah.
Nice Shot, Bud.
that was the guy's name who shot himself.
Bud Dwyer.
Bud Dwyer, yeah.
How does Muggs have a lot of information on this story?
I know.
It's shocking to me. He doesn't know anything about anything. All of a sudden, he's coming up with dates and times and names and IDs.
He's the president of the Filter fan club. We have no idea. I like Filter. Tilda Swinton is 54 years old today. Tatum O'Neill is 51. Famke Janssen celebrates her 50th birthday. Sam Rockwell, still one of my favorite actors in the world, 46 years old. Singer Ryan Adams is 40 years old. And Kevin Jonas is 27 years old.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Jonas Brothers? Still a thing? I don't know. Whatever. Jonas Brothers. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, as gamers know, BlizzCon is a red letter day on the calendar. And the weekend is finally here this Friday and Saturday at the Anaheim Convention Center. BlizzCon 2014 is sold out. So much great stuff going on down there, including, by the way, a performance by Metallica, that we want to give you some tickets right up front here at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10, 11, and 12. Win your way into the sold-out BlizzCon by calling K-Rock right now. And let's welcome the man behind the thing every year, president and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment, Mike Morhaime, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, everybody. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
When you're on
Sorry. That's a little late.
When you're on the verge of another sold-out BlizzCon, you have to sometimes pinch yourself, Mike, and go, how did I get to this point in my life, right?
It's just amazing. BlizzCon is like the most amazing time of the year for us. You know, we spend most of our time sitting in our offices and working on games, and at BlizzCon, we get to go out and share with our most passionate players all the cool stuff we've been doing. So we can't wait.
Well, we want to hear all about that. We want to hear all about this weekend. But take me back for just a minute to the beginning days of Blizzard Entertainment. 1991. What's the gaming industry like for you back then?
Well, it's a lot different. We got started, actually, some of our first projects were working on Super Nintendo games. The Super Nintendo hadn't come out yet. In fact, it came out in 1991, which is the first year Blizzard was in existence. You know, I was reminiscing about that because we had a really small office. There were just three of us, and Frank Pierce, one of the other co-founders, had K-Rock on at his desk like the whole day.
And you fired him?
No. Oh. But it was awesome. That's sort of the soundtrack of Blizzard's first year of existence for me.
Wow. How about that? And at what point, at what year did World of Warcraft happen?
World of Warcraft came out in 2004.
Okay. So even that now. Ago. Yeah, even that has been 10 years already, so it's just amazing. I mean, time just goes by so fast. And Warcraft is the biggest thing that Blizzard does, and it has to have far exceeded your expectations, right?
Oh, dramatically. I mean, it exceeded our expectations the very first year that we put it out. We had to stop shipping World of Warcraft boxes to retail probably three times during that first year just because we didn't have the capacity to support all the players.
That's crazy. You know, you start something, you can't imagine that it's going to get so big you can't keep up with it.
Yeah. You know the local Fry's Electronics out in Fountain Valley?
Sure.
We had a midnight opening for World of Warcraft at that Fry's. And, you know, when you do these things, you never know how many people are going to show up. And so we're driving down the 405 to get to Fry's, and the 405 was backed up. And this is probably about 10 p.m., so it's not even close to midnight. And we're just thinking, you know, uh-oh, what's going on here? Is there another event near ours that is causing all of this traffic? And it turns out it was all for the World of Warcraft opening.
Oh, what a sweet moment that must have been.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I mean, because there are so many people who live in the World of Warcraft around the world and have for years, do they look at you as some sort of god because you kind of run the whole franchise?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's more of a big community, and it's fun because everybody knows me, and everybody, you know, people at BlizzCon, a lot of people come up to me and just express, they want to express to us how meaningful these games have been in their lives. And it's very touching. You know, it really recharges our geek batteries to go back to work and continue doing what we're doing.
From somebody on the other side of that, it's so impossible to actually put into words what something means to you, especially if it's a big part of your life or it's super important. The words that come out rarely say exactly how you feel.
Yeah, I think that that's probably true. But you can see it on their face, just how important it is.
Well, let's talk about this weekend. Let's talk about this year's BlizzCon. This is Mike Morheim on the phone right now, president and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment. I mentioned it's sold out, and we gave away those tickets a moment ago. But there is a BlizzCon virtual ticket where you can access both days with live HD coverage. And obviously, you can just go to BlizzCon.com for that information. What are some of the highlights of things you're really looking forward to people seeing this weekend, Mike?
Well, it gets kicked off Friday at 11 a.m. is the opening ceremony, and that's where we are going to share with the world, you know, some really cool announcements. You can tune in live on BlizzCon.com to the opening ceremony and all of the esports activities that will be taking place for 2 days completely for free. You don't need the virtual ticket for that. If you do purchase the virtual ticket, you'll also get access to all sorts of panels and other content that happens throughout the 2 days, including the closing concert by Metallica.
And I know you're a metalhead yourself. You play in a band. That just must be a dream come true to have Metallica at your event.
It is. We're very excited about that.
What are we going to see about the movie this weekend? I know you got Duncan Jones, your director, there. What else is happening?
We do, yeah. And there's going to be a special movie panel talking about the movie. I can't tell you what else, but there will be some
what else?
Cool information. I can't tell you. let's see. We've got Chris Hardwick joining us. He's going to be hosting our costume and talent contests that happen on Friday night.
Shouldn't we just have, in all seriousness, shouldn't we just have Chris Hardwick host everything?
Yes.
He's really good at it.
You probably should even just have him do this interview.
Just every day. Yeah.
No, he's
our
the best.
Show, yeah. All of the award shows, just have him host.
Hey, speaking of this movie that so many fans have been looking forward to for so long, this World of Warcraft movie, was it difficult to pick what plot lines to put in the movie when you have such a sprawling universe of hundreds of characters and thousands of scenarios? Like, where do you even start to begin to condense that down as a standalone film?
Yeah, it was. We talked and debated about that for a really long time before settling on what we ended up doing. But ultimately, I think that we've got a great script. It's a great story. It's very Warcraft. The Blizzard guys have been very involved in partnering with Legendary and their team. So you know, it's headed down a really good path, and I think we have the right people involved.
Does it feel like a lot of pressure knowing how much people love it to put out a movie and then you're going to be judged by those people?
I think there's a ton of pressure, yeah. Not only because of that, but because the track record of video games that have sort of made the jump to the silver screen, there's not a good track record there. And so
right.
I think we have a big goal here to try to prove that it can be done, it can be done well.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time, Mike. The event does sound great, and I want to tell people again, go to Blizz.com, as you said, BlizzCon.com, I should say. You said you can watch some of the stuff for free, including the opening ceremonies, but then you can get the BlizzCon virtual ticket for $39.99 to watch the whole thing all weekend long. And we've just barely scratched the surface with some of the stuff, because I know you've got StarCraft II stuff going on. You got Diablo III stuff going on. I mean, it's really going to be a great weekend with lots of cool and fun stuff to watch. Congratulations on all your success, man. Good luck on the movie, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, and let me just add one more thing,
yep,
which is
sure.
That we're giving away $750,000 in esports prizes. There's a StarCraft II World Championship that is taking place in the Anaheim Convention Center Arena, and there are still tickets left for that. You can go to Eventbrite and purchase tickets to watch 2 days of StarCraft II competition. And I hope you'll either tune in online or come down to the convention center and join us.
I must have heard wrong. You said $750,000.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
That's the prize pool. Kevin, you are not wasting your time going home and playing video games every day after the show, it sounds like. Mike, congratulations, man. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Bye.
You bet. Have fun. All right, Foo Fighters. Let's do it.
Yes.
Secret show. 1-800-520-1067. You'll have to play a game to win these tickets, but call now and we'll play next.
Why are we trying this again?
I don't know.
It's the most complicated game. Everybody ends up yelling at everybody else. Why do we play it?
We never can figure out the rules the same.
I don't know. We've been playing this game for 20 years. We still don't know how it works. All right, let's try it anyway. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, super secret show with Foo Fighters. Huge band, tiny location. You cannot buy tickets. You can win your way in from KREC. We got them for you all week long, including right now with a game that we like to call Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Who's the actual champion between
me.
You, Dave, the King of Mexico,
who
and
do you
Lisa
think,
May?
Bean? Who
well,
do you
Dave
think?
Always
me.
Claims that he wins,
no,
but who
I don't
really
me.
Wins
I
the most?
I claim it because I win.
Nope,
that's
me.
Why.
I sure don't know. I'd go 50-50 at
I think
best.
It's about 50-50.
Wait, didn't someone count them out?
If
they
Lisa,
did, and then you started and, losing.
No.
Yeah. All right. Look, all we right. have two contestants. We have Robert in Santa Fe Springs, and we have Miguel in Pico Rivera.
All right, let's go to Robert first, and we'll explain to him and to Miguel, who's on hold, how the game works. Robert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, welcome, Lisa May.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
He's welcoming us. That's very nice.
That's nice. Hey, we've been here since 5:30. Where were you, son? All right, listen, here's the way the game is played. It's called Title Fight, and I'll try my best to explain it. You are going to pick one of these contestants, either Dave or Lisa, to be your partner, and they are going to try to get you to say the name of Foo Fighters songs, very popular songs we play here on KREC, without using any of the major words in the title, okay? We're going to put 45 seconds on the clock. You see how many you can name in that time, and then your competitor will do the same. Now, Robert, since you are on the line first, we're going to let you pick your contestant, but we're also going to make you go first.
Wait, are we okay. the contestants? So do we win?
No, he's going to.
Yeah, you're his partner.
Pick the clue giver.
Right. So okay, you know what? I'm going to flip a coin here. I'm going to go tails Lisa May, heads Dave. Let's see what we get.
All right. Let's wait for your little game.
Yeah.
Let's do tails Lisa May.
Good. Lisa May, I don't want Robert anyway. He's stupid. He's all saying welcome to his phone line.
Dave, shut up.
Flip a coin.
The
hang up on
piece.
This guy.
Of advice I will give you, though, Robert, is if nothing is connecting, she's giving you a lot of words and none of them are making sense, you can pass and then come back to it if you still have time left on your clock, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, 45 seconds on the clock for Foo Fighters songs. Play ball.
All right, this is when someone is in jail and then they want to bust.
Break out.
Okay, you're thinking about days today, for instance, and comparing them to past
these days.
Say it again.
One of these days.
No.
Pass.
Okay. This is someone who just saved a child from a burning.
Hero.
This is what you hang yourself with.
He a didn't rope. Say the last title,
he
by
didn't
the way.
Say oh, the last title. Yes. Okay.
Okay. When you go on a date, you don't present the worst. You present. What's the opposite of worst?
Best of you.
Okay, we're going back.
Times like these?
Yes.
What just happened? How did he not get it during the
By
whole
way,
time?
By the way, he didn't get the fourth one.
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
he did.
Way to go, Lisa.
Yeah, I didn't even hear rope.
He's
challenging.
Here's the thing. He slipped in rope while we were saying you didn't say my hero.
And
all right, so
we don't need you.
He did get breakout. He got times like this. He got my hair. He got rope. He got best of you. So he got five in 45 seconds,
yes.
right?
41 yes. seconds.
Ooh. But I never heard the buzzer at the end of the thing. What happened with that, by the way?
It didn't reach it.
Yeah, because he got 41 seconds.
Yeah,
wow.
We timed it.
So if I beat him in 39.9 seconds, we win, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's going to happen. All right, Robert was an outstanding competitor.
Awesome,
Robert. Let's see what Miguel's got going
Miguelito.
On.
Hey, Miguel,
welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Good, you guys?
What'd you think of that, and how are you feeling about your chances with Dave?
Well, we'll do our best, right, Dave?
Well, you're a dock worker, so you're a hardworking man. So am I. I think we got this, dude. Are you a big fan?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a hardworking man?
You know, we're not a debt collector like Robert who just hassles people.
All right, take it easy.
You know?
Jesus. Dave is making this personal.
Yeah.
What is wrong
flipping
with you?
Coins. All right. We get a chance.
Are we
all
right? You're going to have to come up with all five of them in order to have a chance to win and even do it faster than your competitors. So good luck. The time is on the clock, and let's see how this goes.
All right.
If you're like a faker, what do you do? Like if
Pretender.
You're – all right. This is an animal. It's also a tool.
Monkey wrench.
All right. The whole existence of yourself, let's see, looking back on your past.
Best of you.
Nope.
Everlong?
Nope.
Skip it.
All right, cool. I'm going out, and I'm going to take a... You know, when you go... Okay, cool. All right, and you already said this title, but it's something not short, but...
Everlong.
Yep. All right, and now when you're thinking back about the past and you're looking at your whole existence. Come on.
Man,
close. You were
and
not
good.
Not a terrible clue either. It was all my life we were looking
all
for there.
Life.
All my
life.
Oh,
man, Miguel. That was great, though.
You got four in your 45 seconds, but I believe our man Robert is our winner. He got all five. Congratulations, Robert. You are going to be Super Secret Foo Fighter Show, courtesy of K-Rock and your beautiful partner, Lisa May.
Good I can't job. Wait. I cannot
Once
wait.
Once again, the man wins.
What?
Man.
And you picked the right person. Congratulations.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
I'm the best. Thank you.
It's Kevin and Bean Show at 936. We're just discussing Dave the King of Mexico and the clues that he gives for those title fights.
I'm the best. I'm red.
He claims he's the best. But he's really terrible.
Yeah, his technique leaves something to be desired, I think.
Like, he was given, what was it? Was it times like these? What was it? All my life?
All my life.
He said, now when you look back.
The total of the existence of looking back.
And then the guy said.
Everything's.
I don't know. And then Dave goes, And then the guy goes, okay. I don't know.
Okay.
And the guy goes, pass. And he goes, good.
Oh, good.
Because he had no other words.
I'm red.
It's not claiming when it's true.
Yeah, well, you lost.
Not because of me.
Suck on that.
Yeah, of course.
Not because of you.
Not you.
Hey, we got time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
What? When you go out, you take a...
take a walk.
Dumb. Thank God he said walk. That's what I do. I have to go out before I leave the house.
There were four other words in my mind before walk as well.
I'm red. Thank you. Mataclan. Amanda Bynes now claims she has been diagnosed as bipolar and manic depressive on her Twitter feed.
What happened now?
Yeah, it's what happened now. The guy said, what happened now?
Oh, he did?
I don't know. I'm not sure what that's
clip?
From. Play it again.
What happened now?
What happened now? Why is that a thing that we play?
It just is.
Because that guy wants to know what happened now.
Right.
Come on, Ralph.
He's asking for clarification.
But
sure.
How are we supposed to know that if we don't understand what that's what he's saying?
What happened now?
No. No. No.
You denying that clip?
I deny that.
It's a thing
now.
And it exists.
All right.
And now you know. So what's going on with Amanda Bynes?
On her Twitter feed yesterday morning, she writes, I was diagnosed bipolar and manic depressive. So I'm on medication. I'm seeing my psychologist and my psychiatrist weekly, so I'm fine. Then there were other tweets. I need to get an apartment, and my parents won't give me access to any of my funds. Well, stop giving jewelry to strangers. Maybe they'll let you have a checkbook.
Yeah, wasn't she in a jewelry store, like buying watches or something?
Yeah.
Handing them out?
I'm not living with my parents. I'm not legally obligated to. My lawyer said if I comply with the courts and take my meds and see my psychologist and my psychiatrist weekly, then I will get unconserved. Thank God.
You know what?
I'll hold my breath and eat some worms.
The formula that I've come up with for how you know Amanda Bynes is doing is if she's not on Twitter, she's doing great. If she's on Twitter, she's got issues.
Yeah, she needs to leave that alone. Well, Britney Spears is furious at Mario Lopez. Well, aren't we all? But not for this reason. She's upset because he was bragging about their one-night stand in his new book. His new autobiography.
Wait. Mario Lopez has an autobiography?
Well, sure. Don't you want to know all about that thing he once did?
No.
What about the extra show?
I don't care.
How do they shoot at the Grove? That must be fascinating.
Nope.
How do they shoot when that trolley goes by?
I was at the Grove one time and they were shooting. I just walked by. I didn't care then.
They have to hire people to stand around. Well, there are people you stand on that show and you see the people, the onlookers, they're all extras. They hide
really?
Their
outcasts. Is that
extra
true?
Extras, yes.
Oh, you're not kidding?
No.
Oh, that's
they're
awesome.
They're the extra extras.
Wow.
They pay people to look at him while he says, and tonight, this guy was on that show.
It is sad that, I mean, he was on Saved by the Bell, which was a big popular show, but now he works at a mall.
Basically, yes.
Right?
So he wrote
That's true. Book. That's a good observation.
Thank you. And he said that he had sex with Britney Spears, a one-night stand with Britney Spears. Well, she's upset that she is dropping her name in that way. And so as a little payback, she says he was one of the most selfish lovers she's ever had.
Boom.
She nicknamed him the Minuteman to her friends because he couldn't make it longer than a whopping 60 seconds, she
Cranky.
Claims. So watch what you say about Britney, bitch.
Oh, leave Britney alone!
I will. Chadwick Boseman's having a good week.
Year. Yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
Star of 42 and Get On Up, was tapped to play the Black Panther in the upcoming Marvel movie. Now he's just signed on for another film called Message from the King, playing a man who finds out his sister has been murdered as he shows up in Los Angeles to visit her. And then payback results. Very nice career this guy's having.
Yeah,
making good choices. Although it seems to me sometimes, and not being an African-American, it's hard to judge this, but it seems like there's a lot of really great black actors and actresses out there who don't get a shot because Hollywood seems to find the guy they like and then offer that guy everything.
Yeah.
I feel like that's true of all races. Benedict Cumberbatch is in everything now.
Yeah, but there's a ton of other white actors who are also in everything.
Okay.
But if you've got a black movie coming out and you didn't actually, it's Denzel.
Yeah, I hear you.
Or Jamie Foxx. And now it looks like Chadwick Boseman has been added to that list. There's a ton of other black actors who I think could deserve a shot.
Oh, here we go. It's on.
No, it's not
race
on at all.
War.
It's not a race war thing.
Race war's
no.
on, everybody.
You're misunderstanding
me. It's going
me.
Down. It's going
I'm
down.
Promoting
race
more
war.
Opportunities
race war.
For black actors.
I feel like Hollywood does
like
that a lot.
Like female blacks. It's like it's Halle Berry. She gets offered the lead in every movie that needs a female black actress lead.
I hear you.
Just saying. Spread it around. Give the drummer some.
When you run Hollywood, things are going to be very different.
Very different. I'm going to put Coolio in more things.
Hmm. Maybe you don't need to run Hollywood quite yet.
Coolio, man.
What happened now?
That guy's going to get a big role in whatever I do. YouTube fans will be happy to know they are doing a week-long residency on NBC's The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. November the 17th, the band will start their week of performances, and they'll chat with Jimmy and play music from their new album, Songs of Innocence, and hopefully some of their older hits as well. Excited to see that. And Papa Roach and Seether are teaming up for a co-headlining tour. Finally, you get to see Papa Roach and Seether together on the same bill.
What's the date on that piece of paper you're looking at?
I'm sorry.
Is it 1995?
January 9th in Orlando, wraps up in Vegas on February the 7th, so you can get to see Papa Roach and Seether together.
Okay.
Here's your concert update. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Jonas is 27 years old today. Ryan Adams is 40. Bryan Adams is 55. Famke Jensen is 50 years old. Tatum O'Neill, the actress, is 51. Tilda Swinton, 54. Robert Patrick is 56. Kris Jenner celebrates her 59th birthday today. Her face is 3. Art Garfunkel of the legendary Simon and Garfunkel duo, 73 years old today. And seriously, one of my favorite actors of all time. I will go see a movie just because he's in it and he never disappoints. Sam Rockwell.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
That's,
and I have no privacy.
That's the R&B singer Rockwell. Sam Rockwell is not a black singer.
But does he feel like somebody's watching him all the time?
The IRS!
We might need to go through that song. Because I don't remember how these great lines that you're quoting from it.
Rockwell basically talked his way through the song, and then Michael Jackson would come in and sing that refrain.
Muggs, for some reason, knows everything there is to know about this song and this video.
Filter and Rockwell. He is just dialed into those two subjects.
He was reminding us that in the video, Rockwell is taking a shower with his clothes on.
Yes, it is. Because someone's watching him in the shower now.
What's happening?
He's kind of like the black Fred Schneider. Did a lot of talking in that. Who's watching me now? The IRS?
Here we go. It's
fruitcake.
On. Race war.
It's not a race war
race
thing.
Race war's on, everybody.
It's just because.
It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
Anyway.
Pete, how big was a song was that?
The good Rockwell. Sam Rockwell's
46. How high on the charts?
I mean, I think it went to like 5, maybe, something like that. It was a big hit.
It was Barry Gordy's son.
But he was taking a shower in his clothes.
It was the guy
who ran. Son-in-law.
His son-in-law.
Maybe
son-in-law. Yeah. He was related to the guy who owned Motown, so he got a break. And Michael Jackson sang on it.
And then
as a favor to Berry Gordy,
gets Michael Jackson to sing the chorus on it. So naturally it became a hit because it was well produced and well written and well, you know, had Michael Jackson on it. And then, but Rockwell himself, he was not good.
Not good?
Yeah, I don't think he had much
to
offer.
I'm walking down the hall. They're looking at me. I'm in the shower. The IRS? He's all confused by who was looking at him.
I'm just an average man, Ralph, with an average life. I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price.
Sure he does.
All I want is to be left alone in my average home.
Yes.
But why do I always feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone?
Yes.
Boom. Tough times for Rockwell.
I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
He always feels like someone is watching him.
They got to get him on this Papa Roach Teether tour. He's got to open.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, the very funny Alan Tudyk will be on the program talking about news readers. We have Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow and also Jim Rome. We're going to start doing this weekly, I believe.
Oh, awesome. That's right. Now I'm done
talking sports with Jim Rome.
Alvin, get me on that show, Alvin. Those two chuckleheads.
Along with tickets for the Secret Foo Fighters show tomorrow morning.